Hi, this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. House Speaker Dennis Hastert sure has his detractors. Calls for his resignation have gotten loud, but he also has supporters. Hastert says the Mark Foley email scandal is still being probed.
We've asked the Ethics Committee to look into this matter, and we ask for criminal investigations to be opened by the Justice Department, the FBI, and the state of Florida.
For Hastert, the open question has been what he knew about Foley and when. Meanwhile, back home on the campaign trail,
the rank-and-file Republicans that I talk to are absolutely panicked. They're looking at new polls that are out today that say that the public does not trust the Republican Party to handle these kinds of corruption issues. They're going back to their districts. All they're getting asked about is Mark Foley, Mark Foley, Mark Foley.
That's CBS's Gloria Borger. John Mark Carr was not the killer of JonBenet Ramsey. Now he is not a defendant in a misdemeanor child porn charge either. Case dropped in Santa Rosa, California.
This has nothing to do with what happened or did not happen to Carr in Boulder in the Ramsey case, and really everything to do with the strength of the evidence that California police and prosecutors have on him or don't have on him there. Clearly, this was not a strong case. It wasn't getting better. And that's why I think prosecutors opted out now before trial.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. Ousted chairwoman of Hewlett-Packard, Patricia Dunn, has surrendered to authorities, running a gauntlet of reporters and shutterbugs at the courthouse in Santa Clara County, California. She faces felony charges in the company's spying scandal. Going back to schools, where death came calling. In Wisconsin, students who lost their principal to a gunman went back to class today. Same story in Bailey, Colorado, where a 16-year-old girl died at the end of a school hostage-taking a few days back.
The initial reports from the staff and these mental health workers indicate that students are doing extremely well.
That's Jim Walpole, the school superintendent there in Bailey. In Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, 30 buggies pulled by horses took a small Amish community to the Hilltop Cemetery, where four of five young girls murdered on Monday were buried today, where mourners saw the world around them through a film of tears.
Visitors bring joy to our school. And the man and I kept looking at that, thinking, this visitor didn't bring joy to the school.
Janice Ballinger, deputy coroner in Lancaster County, looking at a sign in the school. We're just today learning of a second death to tainted spinach, a 2-year-old boy in Boise, Idaho, who died September 20th. As you know, the spinach scare is over. Store shelves are being restocked. On Wall Street, the Dow went up again, pushing the record up another 16 points today to close at 11,866. The Nasdaq gained 15 points. Oil prices were up 62 cents at $60.03 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pains?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Sorry, I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
Nope, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
Looking for a new car? You might want to make sure it has side impact airbags. Your brain doesn't do well when it bangs against the side of your skull.
What we found looking at real-world crashes is what we've been learning from, you might say, the dummies in our crash test for a while, and that is that head-protecting side airbags substantially reduce the risk of death in a side impact crash.
That's Ann McCart at the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. Beam me up, Scotty. We are still a far, far distance in time from beaming ourselves anywhere, but scientists in Denmark have teleported something of substance, thousands of billions of atoms in size, a speck, if you will, a distance of nearly 20 inches. They did it with light, which is big stuff because light only carries information, and matter is stuff that stores information. Shorter term, it means a step closer to what's called quantum computing. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You'll never find a Rolex watch in a superstore, or for that matter, an Orrick vacuum. That's because you're judged by the company you keep. If you want an amazingly powerful 8-pound Orrick vacuum, visit one of my Orrick stores. Or call me at 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and I'll send you one to use free for 30 days. It's worth the time, and it won't cost you a dime.
I hear you got a new car.
Yeah, I got it for a good price.
What kind is it?
Don't know.
What color?
No idea.
Four-door or two-door?
Haven't a clue. But hey, I got it for a good price.
Buying a car on price alone doesn't make much sense, so why buy car insurance that way? At Progressive Direct, we provide rates from other top companies plus 20 facts and figures, so you can compare on more than just price. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
This is the Peter B. Collins program. The Peter B. Collins program, but Peter B. Collins is off today. He's gone off to the Midwest back to check out his roots, and he'll be back in a couple of days. I'm Peter Laufer. In the meantime, with you and pleased to be with you here on the expanding Peter B. Collins program. As I understand it now, Peter B. is broadcasting in Coos Bay, Monterey, Eureka, Phoenix, Sacramento. As the show expands across the country, border to border and coast to coast, I'm sure is the hope of my friend and colleague, Peter B. Collins. Now, I was sitting around trying to decide what to do with these 3 hours today and wondering what might make sense, what might entertain you out there and entertain me at the same time and keep me going for 3 hours. And we've got three quite intriguing hours ahead of us. I hope you stick around for some of it. And we're going to start with an old, old friend of mine, and this is not the incestuous nepotism-like scene that may sound like. Here's what happened. First of all, let me say hello to Larry Faber, who I think is on the line from Santa Cruz. Are you there, Larry?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome to the Peter B. Collins program. It's great to have you on the radio.
It's great to be with you.
Now, let me tell the audience what we're up to here and why this is happening, okay?
Okay.
A couple of weeks ago, maybe more, it may have been right after I sat in at this desk in this studio for Peter B. the last time, you gave me a call, and basically you started to rant and rave. Isn't that right?
That's about right, Peter.
And you were bloody upset. You were bloody upset, as I'm sure many of the people in the audience are, with the state of affairs in this country, but it was more than that. You were upset about what was going on, and you were frustrated because you just couldn't figure out what the heck to do about it. And you did something completely inappropriate offensive. It wasn't really offensive. I was going to say you were conning me. You weren't really doing that. You were passing the buck. You said to me, take care of this stuff, right?
That's exactly what I said.
And so I thought about that. You know, I thought, well, this is unreasonable. We've got to take care of this together. And all of us have to take care of it. So here's my plan for this hour, Larry, and all of you listening, because I want to get you all involved too. Larry's been in Santa Cruz forever. That's where I met Larry. We were living next door to each other when our sons were born many, many years ago, and we became friends and colleagues. And Larry knows Santa Cruz. And Larry knows what it's like to be a working American. You're in the construction business.
That's correct.
And you are a contractor, and you're in a vibrant community there. But you could be, in many ways, representative of every man. You're a guy who's out there working. You raised your kids. You are trying to do the right thing and be a good American, a good citizen, make a living, leave something positive behind, right?
Absolutely.
But you're mad.
I'm a little bit concerned.
You're a little bit concerned. So what I want to do, I want to find out what it is that is concerning you. Basically, I want to relive that conversation we had the other day. And then I want to invite anybody out there who may wish to participate to give a call and help us sort it out. And maybe after this hour is over, the least that'll happen is you'll have vented not just to me, but to thousands and thousands of people. So maybe you'll feel a little better. But maybe also we'll get some calls from some of the folks listening who will have some ideas of what to do next. That's the plan. That's the plan.
That would be great, Peter.
Okay, well, the telephone number, just if you want to jot it down, is 888-5-PETER-B, and that comes out to 888-573-8372. So note that down if you're listening. Now, Larry Faber, what's bothering you?
Well, you know, Peter, the day that I just pretty much had enough was when I was driving around, going from one job site to another, and I had just listened to our commander in speech deliver a message, or commander in chief,
yes,
deliver a speech.
I liked it the way you said it before, commander in speech deliver a mess. But at any rate,
and you know, I am making an effort to be on board with the current political leadership, because they're empowered, and they do represent a large segment of the nation. However, I called you in a moment of frustration, because after he delivered his message, then I listened to the other side just beat him over the head with a completely opposite message, and I was frustrated in the moment for lack of political leadership in our country. The fact that two individuals like you and I just don't have a practical alternative to the extreme viewpoints that we see represented in our government, and I'd like to participate in not so much bringing the sides together, but have a voice for those of us. You know, I'm a boomer, and I have a birthday coming up, and I'm right there with the boomers, and I'm just thinking that we're a generation that lacks political leadership, and we have a...
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things here now that sit kind of lopsided for me. First of all, we have political leadership. You just don't like the political leadership.
Oh, absolutely. That's the case.
Okay. The second thing is, how is it that you feel you don't have a voice?
Well, I do vote, and I just feel that and I'm thinking that politics is such a game of compromise that I think that we sacrifice our principles along the road of a compromise, and well-intended, sincere individuals that represent us in the political arena are compromised by the experience and by the arena that they find themselves in, and so well-intended sincerity seems to be lost along the way.
Yeah, and so when you were yelling at me on the telephone, you were suggesting that you don't see any out there, that you don't know what ought to be done.
Well, exactly the case. I mean, I think the last election, the presidential election that we had, we were a country that appears to be pretty split right down the middle, and maybe there's some leadership that can unite the country. I'm sorry, I can't offer a name to throw into the ring, but I'm certainly willing to read and listen to everybody's point of view and develop a maybe not a necessarily a new way of thinking, but maybe a better way to take a run at it.
A better way to take a run at bringing
our foreign policy and our domestic programs.
A better way to take a run at bringing people together instead of this divisive.
Sure, and that's the nature of the Santa Cruz community is trying to come together. Nevertheless, we find ourselves polarized and certain political conditions.
Oh, yeah, of course. Larry Faber is my guest this hour, my friend, my colleague for years and years in Santa Cruz, and he's on the line because he's mad and frustrated, and I figured we're talking to so-called experts all the time. Let's talk to a regular guy, and Larry Faber's a regular guy. Let's hear his concerns. Let's see if we can, if not assuage them, at least come up with some ideas to give us all a little direction, or maybe we'll just let him vent. It's the Peter B. Collins Program. I'm Peter Lauffer here for Peter B., who's taking a couple of days off, and you are listening in Coos Bay, Monterey, Eureka, Phoenix, and Sacramento. I'm glad you're with us.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake Elistero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings. Hear how you can talk to an active investor who's still making money. And learn how you can join him in one of his own pre-construction investments. Call him at 866-383-9977. 866-383-9977. And don't forget, you can be a part of the Rock and Relax giveaway just by calling in during the show. Or log on to rockrollerrealestate.com. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
19 after the hour here on the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Laufer, pleased to be sitting in for Peter B. while he takes a couple of days off. And pleased to have on the line my friend and colleague, Larry Faber, out of Santa Cruz. Larry Faber, working hard for the last few decades and frustrated now because of what, Larry? What's frustrating you again?
Well, you know, Peter, I can draw the example is after the 89 earthquake here in Santa Cruz, people looked to me for guidance, for some practical leadership in construction when their homes were either destroyed or damaged.
Sure.
And I had an opportunity and I had a responsibility to fulfill my professional role.
Absolutely.
And I just see politicians, there's generations of politicians choosing a lifestyle rather than maybe a serving in the way that the political process was set up originally. And
So you're seeing these politicians just grabbing the jobs in order to make themselves comfortable rather than serving the public. That's your complaint?
To some degree, that's exactly the case. And I see some politicians, for example, making it up as they go along. We have a very, very touchy immigration issue here in California, and it seems that we're compelled to follow the existing law of the land. Nevertheless, we have some politicians or some communities refusing to recognize that and take an active role, on the other hand, in changing what they don't agree with.
So that issue or any other issue that's bothering you and you feeling as if politicians aren't doing what they ought to be doing and are just getting comfortable, or in the case like this guy Foley, cozy, you're irritated. Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you run for office? Why don't you become a politician?
Isn't that funny that that's what you and I boiled it down to when I was raging with you on the phone?
Yeah,
the other day.
Quit belly aching and do something.
Yeah, quit my belly aching and do something. Well, you know, I find myself taking responsibility for the area that I am working, and I feel that in my profession in construction, I have stewardship in some areas, and I think I can be most effective staying where I am rather than leaving the community or leaving my profession. I think I just need to be active on a local level and let those people that choose to understand all the issues and take a run at it support my way of thinking and try to align myself with.
Yeah, but it's a bit of a contradiction because you're not finding them doing that. We've got somebody on the line who wants to weigh in with you, and if you would like to join Larry Faber and me, Peter Laufer, here trying to figure out how to help Larry deal with his frustration, the number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And up in Eureka, Rick is listening to this complaining. Rick, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Larry Faber.
How are you doing today?
Good. Yourself?
Oh, pretty good. Now, the reason I called is you were talking about a regular guy, and I can't think of anybody out there more regular than myself.
Really?
And the reason
Wait a minute. What makes you think you're regular?
Because I work. I have a mortgage. I have a family. I have kids. I'm trying to put through school, you know, the whole thing. And it's so difficult. And this administration just makes it harder for me.
Larry?
Well, you know, I certainly agree with you to some degree. I have raised the kids and put them through, and now I find that I have some time that I can focus a little bit more on political leadership. And I really, quite frankly, Rick, I don't see any difference between either side.
Well, you know, what I heard you say was, well, you're tired of this, you're tired of that, you're thinking about running and all that. And I think a lot of politicians started out that way. Yes, I want to change the world. And then they get sucked into this whole political thing and they wind up being on one side of the fence or the other.
Absolutely.
Like this thing with Foley. You know, now it's a terrible thing what had happened, and now the Republicans are trying to link that to homosexuality, which you and I both know pedophilia and homosexuality are two entirely different things.
Yeah.
And I see that happening. I see the spin. It gets very frustrating for me to see this day after day. And I was a Republican for 28 years, and I could no longer support this party that I joined way back when.
So, Rick, what's your recommendation to Larry so maybe the next time he calls me he's not yelling and screaming his frustration into my ear?
I don't know, because I'm pretty much on the same side as him. I yell and I scream and I do all that, and there are times I write my congressmen, I write my senators, I call them. It doesn't feel like I'm getting anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't see an end to this dilemma we're in. And I'm praying to God that the Democrats win in November.
Yeah, isn't that bizarre? And you, a lifelong or almost lifelong Republican, you think that this change just is necessary, huh?
Yeah, I do. I mean, yeah, it's the Republican Party is not the party I joined. I mean, I'm registered as a Democrat now, although I flip on every side of the issue. I'm not a liberal by any means, and I'm not an extreme conservative either. I'm right in the middle of the road, and I don't think anybody addresses those people who are sitting on the fence trying to figure out which way to go.
Well, it's interesting to hear you guys saying pretty much the same thing. Rick and Eureka, thanks so much for the call.
Sure thing.
And Larry, yeah. before you say anything more, we've got Kevin in Santa Cruz who wants to say something at you. So, Kevin, welcome to the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Laufer with Larry Faber on the line there in Santa Cruz, too.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Well.
Hey. Good. You know, I'm a veteran and a husband and a father and a taxpayer and a business owner, and I find myself in a similar situation. And I think from talking to people like Larry and others that, you know, have a similar bent towards the present situation we're dealing with economically, politically, and with the government particularly, that we have been way too lenient with ourselves and the world at large. And I'm not talking about in a disciplinary way, but everybody comes here, takes what they want, leaves, badmouths us for giving it to them, and takes issue with the way we do things. And we're not perfect, but we do the best we can, and we give away more money to the world than the rest of the world combined.
Yeah, those statistics aren't right.
Well, okay, the point isn't statistics, and I'm getting a little bit wound up here. But
sure.
The fact of the matter is that I think it's time that we slow things down and reevaluate how we approach things. And as long as we keep giving these politicians all the money they want, they're going to do whatever they want, and if they don't have the money, they can't do it, and we have to find a way to not let them have it.
Well, that seems like a really astute point to remember. And when we look at this war now in Iraq costing $11 million an hour, it is important to remember that if we're opposed to it, that's our money, and if we could figure out a way to keep them from having that money, it'd be hard for them to spend it.
I think it's the hardest commitment to make because you appear to be unpatriotic and going against your government, but, you know, it's like they're the parents, the government's the parents, and they're out partying. They're like Rodney Dangerfield out on the golf course, and the kids don't know what to do, and they're all wandering around distracted, and everything's falling apart, and we have all the money to take care of everything, but we let them do what they want with it, and now everybody's upset about it, and I think it's time to stop giving them the money. And if that's a national tax strike or a proposition that allows us to distribute the money solely on a local level, pay-as-you-go tax, whatever, but we better do it soon because they're not going to stop till we stop them.
I think you've got a point there, Kevin. Thank you so much for the call from Santa Cruz. Larry, it's really quite intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like we're sitting in a bar somewhere with a bunch of people who are feeling the same way you feel.
Well, it's exactly the case, Peter, because, you know, we're Americans that are coming to age. That went through the 60s, and we're coming to age, and we grew up in the shadow of the atomic bomb, and you know, and we're thankful that that we lived through that, but we're also the first generation, I think, that was born into affluence.
Indeed we are, and we're going to talk about that point of the problem, Larry, momentarily. I'm Peter Laufer here for Peter B. Collins with Larry Faber, who's playing Everyman, and we want to hear from you at 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale, Reality Radio. Listen this Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. We delve into the real stuff of life. You know, surviving changes like heartbreak, raising kids, divorce, disease changes, and more changes. And, oh, Jack, life is so hard.
Hey, Sheila, you know the only one who likes change.
Who?
A baby with a dirty diaper.
Uh-huh.
Also, we'll have the most interesting guests for you and a Hollywood update. Oh, and fun, too.
Oh, yeah. Sheila Gale with Jack Page. Saturday afternoon, 4 to 5 on AM 540, KRXA.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Tired of stale, syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
it is the Peter B. Collins program. Hello, Coos Bay. Peter B. Collins is so pleased to have you listening up there on the Oregon coast. I'm Peter Laufer, in for Peter B. Collins. Hello, Monterey, Santa Cruz, Eureka, Phoenix, Sacramento. It's terrific to have you all listening, and it's terrific to have Larry Faber on the line, my friend and colleague for years and years in Santa Cruz. And Larry, you're playing every man today, and it's really pretty much the right role, right?
I think so.
You've been in construction for years, and you're a solid member of the community. You know how to have fun. You've raised your kids. You're a regular guy.
Thank you.
Is that a compliment?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But you're an unhappy regular guy.
Well, politically, I'm unfulfilled, and being part of a generation that, like I said, grew up with the threat of the bomb, and then had everything handed to us—the material sustenance and comfort. It seems that I'm part of a generation of seekers, and we're seeking the truth in the political arena as well, and we're not satisfied.
So how do you get guys like you to move? And in just a second, we'll talk with Susan and Ed waiting on the line. And if you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you at 888, not 800, but 888-573-8372. How do you motivate yourself? Because you weren't really motivated other than to just call me up and complain. And now we've shoved you onto the radio and we're trying to make you an activist here. But how do you get other regular people off the couch in front of the TV or out of the bar to do something about this if they share your complaints?
Well, I think that we should recognize that we're in a unique place historically. I think that we're more educated. We have the benefit of global information instantaneously, and we have the political unrest throughout the world, and I just think it's time for us to take control in a grassroots type of way, do what we can on the level that we live. On the other hand, holding our politicians accountable.
Indeed. Susan in Santa Cruz. Hi, you're on Peter B. Collins' Larry. Show with Peter Laufer here and with the regular guy, Larry Faber.
Yeah, hi. I've been very frustrated, too, and it's funny. Last night I sent a thing around because I felt like I was just shouting at the ocean. You know, nobody was hearing anything. And I sent a thing around expressing that frustration, and I got a little letter about...
Well, wait a minute. Susan. Sent around what and how?
Huh?
You sent around what and how did you send it around?
I sent out a letter. I sent one to Peter B. Collins, because I was listening to his show, and I heard... Larissa Alexandrovna talk about how her cousin had been disappeared and what happened with that, and how she's still in custody. And she also mentioned that 1,000 people have been disappeared since September 1st. And I don't think people realize how serious this situation is in our country right now. And I went to the town clock today. I don't do that very often, but I did it. I didn't see you guys there. And, you know, I take a lot of action on my computer, and I guess there's more action I can take in my community besides demonstrating, but it amazes me with all of what's going on that there was just a small handful of people.
So there was some sort of demonstration called for the town
clock? Well, the world can't wait, demonstration that's happening all over the United States today.
Right. So, Larry...
Yeah.
You got something to say to Susan?
Well, you know, Susan, I just don't find myself aligned with either side. You know, Peter brought up the war, and we're spending $11 million an hour.
Right.
You know, I'm looking for strong leadership that has a foreign policy that's well coupled with domestic programs. But, for example, I'm just guessing that Islamic militant terrorists would have exploded a nuclear device in our backyard yesterday if they could have. On the other hand, are we spending $11 million a day in killing people on the other side of the world? You know, what way do we go? That's where I find myself looking for insightful, intelligent leadership.
You're a Dem or a Republican if you want change. I think, you know, you talked about acting locally. How do you act locally unless you join with people? Unless you just can go run for office, maybe you're the guy who needs to go out there and become the president or the head of state guy who goes out and makes the foreign policy decisions. And
it's interesting, isn't it, Susan? It's interesting that you are saying the same thing that Rick up in Eureka said, that... If Larry's got something to complain about and thinks that there ought to be some leadership, then maybe that means it's time for him to step forward and do something about it.
Maybe you need to be a leader, Larry.
Well, wouldn't that be an interesting
turn of events
politically? Well, I thank you for the encouragement. Quite frankly, I'm looking for a more of a global view than I possess.
Yeah, but Larry, maybe as Susan is suggesting and Rick suggested, you can't keep passing the buck, and maybe this hour on the radio is your coming out as a politician.
Yeah, let's maintain a sense of humor here.
Hey, the phone number here on the Peter B. Collins Show is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Thank you, Susan, for the call. I'm Peter Lawfer, in for Peter B. I've got Larry Favor on the line from Santa Cruz. Construction guy, regular guy, frustrated guy, looking for some solutions to his frustrations, or at least taking advantage of this hour on the radio to vent. Ed in Aptos, welcome to the Peter B. Collins program.
Greetings.
How are you?
Fine.
Can you help Larry Favor?
Well, I want to place myself. I remember I moved to Aptos or the Santa Cruz area about the time I think you were on KNBR, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Oh, those were years and years ago. That's when Larry and I first met, yes.
Well, I loved you when you were there. You had one expression for Reagan. You called him Ronnie Baby Foxy. Do you remember that?
I remember those days, yes.
Well, it has always stuck with me. I thought that was rather apt, Ronnie Baby Foxy.
Well, I'm glad you were listening. Any advice for Larry?
Well, two things I was thinking of is that both parties have... The apparatus is kind of controlled by the extremes, and most of the people lay somewhere in the middle, and you have this polarization of both parties, and maybe that's why Larry is a little frustrated with the parties. And
exactly. What it's,
the reason it is because those people have the passion and get out there, you know, and agitate. Now, if we could get a radical middle, and those people get passion and get involved, then we'd see a change.
Well, isn't that an intriguing term, Ed, the radical middle? And in many respects, isn't that what Bill Clinton was and why he, aside from his personal charisma, why he was so appealing? And maybe that's also what Arnold Schwarzenegger is.
Well, it seemed to me like he enacted things I didn't particularly care for in NAFTA and... the communications bill that he signed are a couple of the things that...
You're right. I always call Bill Clinton the first Republican I ever voted for.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was Republican light, but still he supported some of the things that, he wasn't, I say he wasn't supported, but I come from labor. I was, a member of a union for 34 years, I guess, something like that, and I was very well paid, and I attribute that to my union. The union is falling on hard times now, and
indeed,
and the pay that the people are now getting for the same job is very, almost cut in half.
So what are we going to do with Larry? Do you want to join Susan and Rick and try to get him to stop just complaining and run for office?
Well, yeah, he can run for office. There's an office called Democratic or Republican Central Committee. Would take your pick, and even maybe the Greens have one too. But each county has that apparatus, and the Central Committee is an elective office. You have to take a petition around and have your neighbors sign your petition so you can run for office.
But you don't want to do that, eh, Larry?
Well, that isn't what I want to do. But I do like what Ed is doing, and he's really pushing and furthering the discussion that we need to have, and I like the idea of the radical middle. I can begin to identify with your Clinton connection. However, I really think that it's going to come from the middle. I see the polarization that Ed's talking about, and that's what really has had me down for a while. But I want to thank you both for making this go further.
Hey, Ed, thank you for the call from Aptos, and thanks for the memories of Ronnie Baby Foxy.
Hey, Peter, one more thing. I'd like to get his take on the media, because it seems to me that if you looked at this, that they take a very slanted view. You call it the liberal media, but that is not true. I think it's owned by big business, and that the news staff, maybe they personally might be liberal, but the general tenor of the news distribution.
Well, I know that Larry is a radio junkie, so weigh in on that, Larry.
Well, I don't need to put you in an embarrassing position.
No, no, that's you've done it plenty of times before.
Yeah, you do it all the time, and I just the reason that I called my friend Peter Laufer is because he's a enormously well-read, intelligent seeker, and he is my media connection. So I'm looking for the media to provide leadership, and I was saying that these seem to be the most well-informed people that we come in contact with, and I was trying to push Peter to run for office. So that's my answer, is that I think on a grassroots level, the media and the journalists are the most informed people that we have.
Yeah, well, thanks, but no thanks, Larry. And Ed, thanks for the call.
The media at large will be more fair and balanced, as Fox wants to say, but, you know, that's not the truth. They're just the opposite.
Too many of them are. Good to speak with you. And it's about 45 minutes past 3 o'clock in the afternoon here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Fred in Monterey, hang on there. We're going to talk to you in a moment. The rest of you holding on the line, stay with us, because Larry Faber wants to talk with you. Well, at least I want you to talk with him and help him get through all of this. 888-573-8372 is the phone number here. Give us a call. Peter B. Collins is the show. Larry Faber is the guest. I'm Peter Laufer.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
It's the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Laufer, in for Peter B., is taking a couple of days off, and on the line is my guest this hour, my friend and colleague, Larry Faber. And Larry, this really is resonating with the audience. Your complaining, your discontent, your frustration seems to be shared with an awful lot of your regular people colleagues.
Yes, for sure.
And Jennifer is one of them. She's up in Crescent City. Jennifer, welcome to the Peter B. Collins program. Larry Faber is here.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Jennifer.
Listen, I just wanted to say a couple things. I actually ran for at the grassroots level in Del Norte County for the clerk's recorder this last cycle, you know, because my big concern is getting our votes counted. And what I wanted to say about that is it's a huge process. You know, I'm not trying to dissuade anyone, but it takes a lot of time. You're just out there as a moving target, particularly in a red or a purple, you know, county or area. So, but what I do find satisfying through this whole process is this. As a result, for the midterm election coming up, and hopefully some of your listeners will as well, our only chance is to get out the vote. You know, in Del Norte County, it's a situation where a lot of our Democrats, and I believe this to be true across the state and probably the country, a lot of Democrats either aren't voting or progressives declines, or they're voting, I vote the person instead of the ticket. So I'll sign off, but I just want to let
but
you
wait
know
a minute. Before you go away, Jennifer, are you dissuading Larry from getting involved in the process as a candidate? Are you saying this isn't worth it because it's too much of a pain and too much of an uphill battle?
My advice would be, if you do make that decision, that you first collect up a good base. You know, whether it's I work across the party, you know, with the state senate race, the everything from Angelinos on down. I mean, I'm a big fat Democrat, and I've been trying to do some fundraising for some of these lesser known candidates. And what everyone is telling me is, if you don't have the base, if you can't raise $60,000, if it's not a grassroots race, but you know, you have to have a machine behind you.
Yeah. Well, hold on for just a second, Larry. You could get friends and neighbors to get you $60,000 together to run for some local office, couldn't you?
Well, I don't think that's the question. I think you have to have the right person to begin with, but I certainly wouldn't let dollars stand in the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, doesn't he sound, Jennifer, like the right kind of person? He's articulate. He sounds like a regular guy, and he's concerned. What do you think, Jennifer?
Great, but then, you know, the second trick is get a platform and get out there long. And it's not, you can't run in this cycle anyway. You know, there's not going to be enough time.
No. We're looking long term. We're trying to take Larry's, at least I'm trying to take Larry's dissatisfaction and turn it into something productive where we can get him out there and do something, because this guy is passionate. Jennifer, thank you for the call from Crescent City. And Fred in Monterey, I'm Peter Laufer here on the Peter B. Collins program with Larry Faber. Welcome.
I said several things. One of the things that you said that bothered me is that Clinton was like a Republican. I think that's the illusion that the Republicans have, is that the Democrats are the ones who spend the money, when if you look at the numbers, in actuality, if you look at the national debt in constant dollars, it starts to rise immediately with Reagan. And it goes up until it hits Clinton, and then it levels up. The other thing is, when the liberals were running the country, we were a lot more physically responsible. And I think we need to get leaders. We need to get some energy into the party where we stand for something.
So what's your advice, Fred, for Larry?
My advice for Larry would be to try to get a group together, establish what you think are the important things in the election, and then try to get that up to the Democratic committee. I think they've kind of, at the top, I think they've kind of lost the connection with the people.
Yeah, Larry?
No, I couldn't have said it better. Both parties have lost their connection with the people, even though I would probably say that the Democratic Party identifies more with the common man. Nevertheless, both sides are discontent and disenchanted. And I think that's what brought me to the point where I called Peter for leadership, guidance, counseling, mentorship, is that what are we going to do, Peter? What is the direction we can go as part of a generation that is seeking a better life for the rest of the world.
Well, we're getting some intriguing advice from the audience, Larry, and we're finding that there are a lot of fellow travelers in your complaint, and that's intriguing. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Fred, for the call.
The things we've given up, like we've given up support of education at the college level. We used to have that. I went to school for next to nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
My kids have to get deeply in debt. We've given up so much, and basically because of the debt for one thing, and it's we need somebody to get in there and protect us. And I think that's one of the issues we ought to reflect up to the top. Now they've got
no question. Listen, I want to say goodbye to you, Fred, and say it with appreciation because we have so many other people that want to talk with Larry. Thank you for the call, and the number is 888-573-8372. Larry, say hi to Tim in Eureka.
Hello, Tim. Listen, so many ways I want to go on this, and I'm not going to have enough time. I know that.
Yeah, talk fast.
But the gentleman that just spoke briefly now about the fact that it's false that the Democrats are the most spendthrift party, and I also think it's false that we're weak on defense. There's a huge case we made that Democrats aren't that bad on defense. But there was a thing in the Economist issue of the most recent issue of the Economist, which people know is from England, gives a British view, and they covered a race in Tennessee. I can't think of the gentleman's name now, but it was a Democrat trying to take over a traditional Republican spot, and they talked about how that the rank and file people that normally the Democrat Party, which I have supported, is the working class, lower economic class people, is that they felt disaffected in Tennessee, according to this article, because they perceived Democrats as having become northeast elitists.
Yeah. And so what are your thoughts for Larry in this regard?
Well, Larry, I'm telling you, Larry, is that you should take the energy that you used yelling at Peter, and your enthusiasm, and get involved in a group like the other person just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And organize locally and become known and be a voice, and that's how you garner a political support so that you could either run or find a candidate that you support.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, something that I've emailed Peter B. about, is that use things against the warmongering Republicans, the Senate Democratic Policy Committee.
Let me stop you there, Tim, because we are just about out of time.
Okay, well, that's what you need to do.
And that's good advice for Larry, and thank you for the call. And thank all of you for calling, and I'm going to cut the calls off to Larry right now for this hour because Larry has to get back to work. You are a working man. You can't just sit around yammering on the radio.
That's the truth.
But, Larry, we've got a couple of minutes here together before we say goodbye. What's happened this hour?
Well, I made a connection with Fred from Monterey. Fred said the one word that I think is the answer to this political dilemma that I'm in, and that's education.
Uh-huh.
And I will work to support our local and state education. I think that if we share the gift of education with all, whether they're legal or illegal immigrants, whether they're young or old, if we continue to educate ourselves, I think I have confidence that we'll be able to find our way.
Well, then this hour was worth it.
For me it was, Peter, although you trapped me into it.
Yes. Well, now here's the deal, Larry. When you call me up next time, no complaining. We're just going to talk about flowers and butterflies.
I learned my lesson.
I guess you did.
Let's never give up, Peter.
We never will give up, Larry. It's just been such a pleasure talking with you on the radio. We hang out personally, and it's fun to do it professionally. Take care down there in Santa Cruz and say hello to everybody.
Thank you. And it's God bless America and everywhere else also.
That's right. God
Thank
bless
you,
America
Peter.
Everywhere else also. That's Larry Faber. And it's terrific to have him on the program. This is the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Laufer. Next hour, stick around, especially those of you who are concerned about and intrigued with questions of the media. We're going to be talking with an expert in radio, particularly Robert Unmocked, who is going to help us sort out what's going on the radio, what works and what doesn't in this industry, this post-deregulation, post-consolidation radio industry. What is it that we're hearing? What makes this business tick? What makes it work as a business for those who are investing in it? And how does that affect what you're hearing on the radio? All of that here on the Peter B. Collins.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Speaker Hastert tries to hold on with an apology.
I'm deeply sorry that this has happened. And the bottom line is that we're taking responsibility.
Amish funerals today for four murdered girls.
At one point, the procession went right by the dead gunman Charles Roberts' home.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A flurry of activity today as leaders in Congress tried to gain control of the Mark Foley email scandal. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss begins our coverage.
As House Speaker Dennis Hastert fought to keep his job and his Republican majority, the bipartisan House Ethics Committee launched an investigation. Republican Chairman Doc Hastings said they authorized almost 50 subpoenas.
And we pledge to you that our investigation will go wherever the evidence leads us.
Some charge it could lead to the man in charge, House Speaker Hastert, who met reporters today near his home in Illinois.
We're taking responsibility because ultimately, as someone has said in Washington before, the buck stops here.
But Hastert insisted he didn't know enough about what Foley was up to act before last week, something contradicted by other Republicans. He did set up a toll-free hotline.
Thank you for calling the tip line for the United States House of Representatives.
The idea is for more former pages to call in and tell what they know. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. Even before Hastert spoke, he received another more explicit vote of confidence by way of spokesman Tony Snow.
The president, again, has said that he supports the speaker and doesn't think he should resign.
But it's clear the White House wants to keep its distance from the Foley mess. Snow says the facts must come out, but the president won't tell the House how to go about it.
This whole thing started with a complaint from the parents of a former congressional page in Monroe, Louisiana, who were struggling to maintain their anonymity. This afternoon, Jim Shannon of CBS television affiliate WAFB says they issued a statement hoping to make the media go away.
The statement reads in part, "As a young man with integrity who had the courage to question the intention of emails, we respect and honor our son as a hero." And they go on to say, "We have no intention of discussing this at any further time."
The parents say Foley's email to their son was overly friendly but not sexual. Now this.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland Shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
If you drive a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury and need service, there's never been a better time for great deals than right now. It's the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. You'll find special offers by the truckload on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. All installed by Ford factory-trained experts. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event ends soon.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland Shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
In Pennsylvania Dutch country, a Amish buggies carry mourners dressed in black to the funerals of four girls murdered when a deranged man invaded their one-room schoolhouse. CBS News correspondent Drew Levinson, like other reporters, was kept at a respectful distance.
We watched as nearly three dozen buggies and carriages plodded from one of the little girls' homes to a hilltop cemetery and buried the seven-year-old girl, Naomi Rose Ebersole. At one point, the procession went right by the dead gunman, Charles Roberts, home. Now, all four girls were buried today, including two sisters who were just 7 and 8 years old.
A fifth funeral is planned tomorrow, and that might not be the end. Today, the county coroner said a gravely injured girl would be taken off life support.
What's amazing here is how these people continue to talk about forgiveness and how they don't hold animosity toward the gunman or his family.
In fact, Amish leaders have set up a fund for Charles Roberts' widow and three children. In Bailey, Colorado, Platte Canyon High School has reopened 8 days after a gunman took six girls hostage and killed one before taking his own life. Jim Walpole is the school superintendent.
Students are doing extremely well. Some are taking advantage of the counseling services that are available, while others just wanted to get back to learning and get back to their regular routine.
Students were greeted with pink ribbons, streamers, and balloons when they arrived this morning. Police were there but tried to stay in the background. Room 206, where the horror unfolded, will be sealed for the rest of the year. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Is it just me, or is NBC Thursday great again? I mean, it was good before, but now you flat out got the two best comedies on TV, okay? My Name is Earl and The Office. Listen, these shows won Emmys for a reason. They're funny, all right? Then, Howie Mandel, Money and 26 Models, Deal or No Deal, no-brainer. And ER, is it just me, or is it awesome? John Stamos is great. He's easy on the eyes. Not that I'm looking. Anyway, NBC Thursday is all new, and it's great. And it's not just me.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss? Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
This is the Peter B. Collins program, and I'm Peter Lauffer, pleased to be sitting in for Peter B., who's gone back to Chicago for a couple of days to hang out with his family. And on this radio program, and on pretty much any radio program, it's not uncommon to get calls from listeners who want to talk about radio. And if you suggest as an anchor, as a host, that you want to talk about radio, the phone lines fill up almost immediately with people who have so much to say, so many opinions, and so much to ask about radio. So I thought that I would take advantage of this time here to spend this hour talking about radio, and not with you out there, although you're always welcome to call in, of course, but with an expert in radio, in the radio business, from the radio industry, and see if we can get a handle on what this medium is all about these days. Robert Unmacht is on the line from In Three Partners, a radio consulting firm. Welcome to the program, Robert.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And you were saying just before we went on the air that if you say radio on a bus, what happens?
Oh, everybody has an opinion and wants to talk about it. Everybody takes it for granted, so it may not come up in many social situations until someone talks about a Howard Stern or a Rush Limbaugh or the type of music they like or those nutty guys on Q104 or whoever.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And radio has, it's been around for almost 100 years now, and it's been buried so many times when some other medium has shown up, but it's never going to go away.
It won't. It will. It may change a little bit. When we first got started, you were listening to AM radio on crystal sets.
Right.
That you probably built yourself, and everybody said, it's
yep.
a fad.
Yes, it's a fad.
It'll go away soon. And then as we progressed, radios got better. We moved over to FM in the 1970s as they began to be installed in cars and people got serious about programming them. Satellite radios come along, and I think the whole thing will be moving to the Internet, but the basic idea of audio content and content that entertains you, informs you, and this is the big one people forget, keeps you company, provides companionship.
That's right. That radio family, that radio friend who's there. Now, before we get into some of my questions, and I'm filtering this stuff for the audience and for my own continuing curiosity, let's establish your credentials. You're not just some guy on a bus who's talking about radio.
I've been that person, but in addition, I have worked with stations, I've owned stations, consulted to stations. I ran a broadcast industry trade publication for 13 years.
And that's an important publication, M Street. It's one of the Bibles of our business.
It tracked all the stations in the U.S. and Canada. We put out a weekly newsletter, a daily fax, and provided information services to all kinds of other people.
And what is it about radio that keeps you lured to it after all these years? I'm all over the media. I write books. I do television work. I speak in front of live audiences, all sorts of different ways that I get out my journalism. But radio, there's nothing better than radio.
Well, that's the thing. I also follow all forms of media, but there's nothing quite as intimate or it's really, it's hard to quantify other than it's the magic of those three ingredients. Of, you know, informing people, everybody likes to know, being entertained while you're being informed, and having somebody there who supports it. If radio tries to do those things independently and not mix the magic, it isn't nearly as good. If you've got a radio station that just plays song after song and doesn't talk to you, that isn't the same magic as when you put them all together.
And then there's this other magic. For example, right now, tell us where you are. Where are you? What city are you in?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, so now, do you have a window in your office?
Yes, I do.
So look out that window, please, and describe what you see.
Trees.
Okay, that's it? Just trees?
Trees in my neighborhood.
Okay. Well, that's something. I was hoping for something a little more Nashville, but even that's enough, because as soon as you said that, everybody listening received into their brains some sort of self-formed image of trees influenced by you saying trees in my neighborhood. And that's that theatrical magic of radio that can't be matched.
The great thing about radio is I could say that there are circus elephants parading up my street this very moment.
That's absolutely correct, and we're seeing those circus elephants, and even if you say that that isn't true, we still see them, and if you start to say that the trees are on fire, and you say it's real, we'll start to see that in a different way.
Yeah, it truly is amazing what the mind can do. TV cannot deliver that, and that's one of the reasons why you will often notice when you're watching television and you hear a particularly good sportscaster or newscaster, you can usually spot the ones who've been in radio.
And how would you quantify that? What are
they're
they doing?
They're smoother. They're more descriptive. You just have a feeling that they're more engaged with you and they're involved.
Uh-huh.
And when you do the reverse, when you take someone who's been a big TV star and you give them a radio show, they will sound usually flat.
Yes.
And you can usually spot that person in reverse, because you just don't develop the same skills in television where it's all about how it looks as you do in radio, where you have to describe it.
Yeah, and you have that that blessing of anonymity in radio, a form of anonymity, even while you're broadcasting to thousands and millions, because you can't be seen.
That's true. You aren't worried about all the little things.
Is
that sweat on my brow? Oh, no.
That's right. It's a wonderful thing. You can be sitting there... I was about to say in your underpants, but so close to the Foley revelations, I don't think we should probably say it that way. But you can be sitting around in awfully casual clothes, whereas you have to make sure that tie is straight on television.
Many people have been surprised when they finally meet their favorite radio personality.
And what is it that they always say?
Well,
they say, you don't look like what you sound like, right?
That's true, and yet everybody's view has got to be different.
Right, right, and that's all part of the magic. I want to talk about the business side of it, and you're engaged in the business side of radio, right? Tell us a little bit about...
Absolutely. I've worked from all angles in this business. I have been on top of mountains replacing coax cable, and I've been in the middle of negotiating deals. So
is the industry, is the terrestrial radio industry, the broadcast radio industry, not the internet stuff, not the the satellite delivered stuff, but what we know as traditional radio, is the industry healthy?
The industry, there's two answers to the question. Is it healthy? Yes. It's very healthy. I had a reporter from Boston call me because there had been reports that the industry wasn't growing as fast and Wall Street was disenchanted. And they wanted a list of all the stations in Boston that were about to go out of business and were broke.
Uh-huh.
And I had to explain to them that they're not growing as much as they were, but they're still making 50% profit margins.
Really that high? It is that much of a...
It is that much. Viacom, or now CBS, they've split. The CBS half that owns the radio stations will do about $2.1 billion in radio sales, and about $1 million of that will go through to the bottom line.
50% margins.
That's why it's very hard to swallow when these groups say we can't afford to have an afternoon newscaster or we can't afford to have a person on air. It's hard to believe that they really can't afford it. It's just they're trying to keep these extreme profit margins.
And these margins have increased since consolidation, since deregulation?
Generally speaking, they have, because more and more people bought into the idea as Wall Street got involved, and that's where Wall Street got involved to fund the growth, that was a reasonable return as opposed to the exceptional return.
And
so people cut costs and strove for that margin, we've seen more of it.
That's fascinating that they're able to maintain it then by doing something as seemingly simple as cutting costs. I want to talk about what the costs are of cutting those costs momentarily. You stick with us, okay, Robert?
Mm-hmm.
Robert Unmacht from In Three Partners, radio business expert, here to help us wade through radio and figure out what it is we do and what it is you're listening to. I'm Peter Lawfer, in for Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs too. A side of couscous and a bottle of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA.
You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Good afternoon. Let's take a look at your traffic in and around the Monterey Bay area. No stalls yet. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Right now we are looking at some slowing, though. Northbound along Highway 1 between Carmel and Monterey, pretty standard slowdowns there. Eastbound along Highway 152, seeing slow just in pockets now between Monterey and Salinas. We're also taking a look at westbound and eastbound 152. A little slow along Hecker Pass, Watsonville to Gilroy. Also the eastbound side, slow out of Gilroy. And brake lights we're seeing here and there. Not a solid stretch yet. Westbound along 156 from Castroville into San Juan Bautista, and a little bit heavier now eastbound along Highway 25 at this hour between Gilroy and Hollister. This look at traffic brought to you by Dry Cleaners Secret. Pick up a box of Dry Cleaners Secret at Costco this weekend, and also meet Lynn from The Young and the Restless. For more info, visit drycleanerssecret.com. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
You are listening to the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Laufer, pleased to be here with you while Peter B. takes a couple of days off, and pleased to be talking about this business, about the radio business, and most pleased to have on the line Robert Unmacht from In Three Partners, radio business expert, it's fair to say, right, Robert?
After 30 years, I think so.
I think so, too. Now, we were talking about the 50% margins that you're seeing in the radio business. When I asked you if the industry is healthy, are those the anomalies? Are those the exceptions? Are those the big deals? Or is that across the board in the industry?
That's really the target for the larger stations. That's not what the little station, you know, 30 miles out of town is making.
But the major stations in the top markets are pulling down those kinds of margins regularly?
That's their target. They will, the closer to it, the happier they are.
But you say target. They're getting
it? That's a target. Obviously, there are stations that are not doing well. Some of the large groups have put on some miserable failures. And you know that they're not meeting those kinds of goals when you see a format change.
Sure. But when you're getting the enormous returns, what is it that creates that magic? It's no longer a monopoly in the market because, as you pointed out when we started talking, there's now the satellite-delivered radio, there's the Internet-based radio. How do these stations generate that kind of income?
Well, first off, most radio is local, whereas satellite and Internet is mostly national.
But isn't that local radio often now just spewing out syndicated programming?
Oh, absolutely. But the spots they sell, the commercials they sell, are generally for local businesses.
Uh-huh.
And there, they pretty much have a monopoly. Their competition is the newspaper or the television station. But it's not Internet radio, which has relatively small audiences today. Look for Internet radio to take a huge jump as we build out wireless broadband networks.
Right.
Television is already seeing a big impact from the Internet. You're seeing a lot of places you can download last night's TV show or go buy a TV show or an episode you missed.
Of course.
But that's because television lends itself to being wired. Very few people drive around with it in their car or carry it on their belt.
Right.
So when radio can go wireless over the Internet, you'll see a bigger impact. But for now, it's mostly small amounts of listening on the Internet compared to just about 98% of all of us will listen to a radio sometime during the week.
So the key is that radio is broadcasting local commercial spots, and there is little competition for that, and consequently, all of this money can be made.
Yes, and those stations that have a local product, the news radio station, talk shows that are regional or local, those types of things will make money even if they move over to the Internet. The person who's simply putting songs back to back and selling local commercials is fine now, but is going to have a much tougher time of it when we all start moving over to Internet delivered content.
Via a wireless broadband of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Because then they'll still have the local commercials, but the rest of the content can be duplicated, perhaps even bettered elsewhere.
Right.
But the radio station that still serves locally, be it news or better commercials. We all know the station that's got the really good commercials.
Right.
some stations like WGN in Chicago seem to be all commercials, but they're so well done, you want to listen.
Uh-huh.
Those people, they're secure no matter what. But the radio stations that are siphoning off all the money and not putting much effort into giving anything back to the community, I think they're going to be toasted.
And when the commercials are well done, you consider them not a tune-out. They don't drive listeners away.
Everybody's got commercials that they love, and this is true of television, too.
Sure.
The commercial that you want someone else to hear.
Right. Geico.
And radio's the same way. One of the radio's greatest strengths, and you don't hear it as much as you used to, and that's sad, is the live read commercial where say, someone like you would simply talk about a business they know and like.
Right, right.
Incredibly effective, but in this day and age of fewer people being used, more machines doing the playing of the music, you don't get that as often. And a recorded commercial just doesn't bond with someone as much as someone they trust saying, I use this product, and boy, do I like it.
Sure, it's the old Arthur Godfrey kind of an effect.
Yes, and that's the same magic going for Arthur Godfrey. I was listening not too long ago to a tape of his from 1939,
uh-huh.
A local morning man, in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And everything was much slower paced than it is today, but at its heart, he was doing the same thing that Howard Stern does, telling stories, bonding with the listener, and reading commercials that people relate to.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that is really the formula, right? Telling stories, bonding with the audience, and reading commercials.
And it's absolute magic, and even the largest groups lose sight of that magic in their rush to program off of spreadsheets and balance sheets rather than just performing, you know, producing a good product for people.
Now, if you take that programming formula and then in this post-regulation, post-consolidation era, try to figure out the best business solution, do you marry that kind of programming with a really whittled down management structure where you have clusters of co-owned stations and just one sales guy and one business manager and one general manager and one program director in order to keep costs down?
Generally, it's the air staff that goes away.
But if the air staff goes away, you can't accomplish what you were just describing as the magic.
Exactly. So you hire more managers and more salespeople to try and make up the difference.
And truly, that's what's going on?
That is very much what is going on.
But that seems so counterintuitive.
It is, but when you own a lot of something, the drive to systematize it in order to manage it is very strong. Ray Kroc had tremendous success with McDonald's by building systems. If every McDonald's had its own chef and tried to produce the best it could in local cuisine, the system would fall apart. And most of radio was built on local owners or small groups of owners because you could only own 7 AM and 7 FM stations for the longest time.
Absolutely.
And that led to people who were in touch with the consumer because they had to actually go and dine out with them. When the government allowed you to buy 1,000 stations, which in the case of Clear Channel, they have more than 1,000.
Right.
You have to systematize it in order to make a business that size run. And I don't really blame Clear Channel for doing it that way. They were allowed to do it that way.
But is that then affecting those high margins?
It is at the moment they're able to get it because of the goodwill radio has built over the years and the still relatively small amount of local competition. But
so,
unfortunately, they got a chance to expand that way just as the world was beginning to turn. So they're cutting back on their product quality at the very same time that new avenues are opening to us through the Internet and podcasting and satellite and all these other places.
Sounds awfully dangerous.
It is, they're walking a very fine line.
And would it be working better were they to reverse that and keep things packed on the talent side and pare down the management and take advantage of the scale, the economies of scale, to have less up there in the management suites?
I don't know that they need to cut back on the managers or the salespeople. Those are all productive positions. They're not heavy on those positions. But I do think if they put a bit more into product, and some broadcasters do, it would pay back. If you go back to those CBS stations, those that have been running for years and have great talent that they've kept continue to produce great amounts of money, are well-loved, have high ratings. Those where they've tried to go in and, say, do a format change and do it on with a very small staff and not invest in those types of people have produced miserable results. And you'd think the average person would figure it out. We've had three failures, and our old formula worked great. Let's adopt the old formula for the new stations.
Really?
But they don't get it. I don't know why they don't get it.
We are talking radio on the radio. I'm Peter Lauffer, in for Peter B. Collins. So pleased to be chatting with an expert, Robert Unmacht from In3 Partners, about what makes this business tick. And if you'd like to join us, you're welcome to. The number is 888-573-8372. We'll try to get to your calls, but I've got an awful lot of questions. I'm Peter Lauffer. Stay tuned.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
The scandal deepens. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. What is really going on in this Mark Foley matter? Remember, the very reason the Republicans were elected was to restore sexual continence, which leads one commentator to the inescapable conclusion that this whole Mark Foley thing was a setup.
We know that there is a political party that was stupid, though, to set somebody up this way.
Say no more. In fact, it was revealed that the Republican staffer who tried to get the speaker to do something about Mark Foley more than 3 years ago is himself gay. In fact, CBS correspondent Gloria Borger reports that there are a number of gay staffers working for the Republicans.
Their role in this controversy has caused a firestorm among Republican conservatives who charge that a group of high-level gay Republican staffers were protecting a gay Republican congressman.
You see what's happened here? While we've been distracted by the war on terror, there has been a gay sleeper cell in the Republican Party. This is the problem. The FBI has been so busy recruiting Arabic speakers, they have failed to recruit agents who can pass for gay. We have to redeploy our forces to stop these gay instant messages on Capitol Hill, because unless we stop them there, they will follow us here. But Dave, you say, if we redeploy to go after these gay sleeper cells, won't the radical Islamic sleeper cells take over? Well, yes, they will, of course. 20,000 Islamic radicals will quickly subjugate all of Western civilization. But one of the first things they'll do is stamp out homosexuality. Every time God closes a door, he opens a window.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. My vacuum is not for everyone. Only 9 out of 10 people who try an Orrick buy an Orrick. 9 out of 10. My new Orrick XL upright with the violet blue dirt search cleans faster, lasts longer, and weighs only 8 pounds. Try it free in your home for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it. Call 1-800-989-4200 and shipping and handling is free. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
This is the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Laufer, in for Peter B. Collins, and acting a little self-indulgent this hour, talking about the business we're in, the radio business, and pleased to have on the line an expert in that business, Robert Unmock, one of the partners at In3 Partners, a radio consulting and investment firm. The tree's still out there, out the window, Robert?
Yes, it is. It's dark here, but still there.
That's good to know. Now, we're talking about what works and what doesn't work on radio. We've been talking about commercial radio, and during the last, over 2 decades now, National Public Radio has been making extraordinary inroads into audience share, right?
Terrific increases as they discovered that things like Morning Edition and All Things Considered, which are very expensive, we produced news programs and longer form than just the headlines, had a really good appeal for a large audience.
So why is it that hasn't sapped the commercial value or the revenue stream for the commercial stations?
Well, it has probably taken some money out of commercial radio. First off, of course, they don't sell commercials in the normal sense.
Yeah, but they do sell commercials.
They just call it something else,
right?
That's right, and they use the same tools as commercial radio. They use Arbitron ratings. They have sales departments and the whole bit, but they don't have as much inventory to sell as, say, a news radio station, which might be running 20 minutes of commercials an hour.
But in theory, that means that they could get a premium price for less time.
It would if advertisers put them on the same par with a commercial station.
And why does that not happen?
It doesn't happen mostly because there's a big perceived difference between the two. When you say National Public Radio, you still tend to think of people with long beards and tie-dyed shirts working out of a basement.
I thought you thought of people in khakis driving Volvos with checkbooks just overflowing with dot-com money.
That would be today's listeners. But a big perception amongst a lot of people is that public radio is still pretty much a low-cost affair, and in most cases it's not. I know a number of public stations with budgets that far exceed anything commercial radio could dream of.
Yeah, and in fact, you were talking about McDonald's as an example of something else earlier, but it was McDonald's money that was infused into National Public Radio from the widow of Ray Kroc.
Very much so. They got a very, very large amount from her. It's gone into an endowment to allow them to add more news bureaus around the world, do a lot of things. There's something that's going to happen here with the next Arbitron ratings book that may change a lot of this.
And what is that?
Arbitron is going to start publishing the non-commercial ratings alongside of the commercial ratings.
And prior to this, they've been segregated.
Prior to this, the non-commercial stations had to go and buy from a separate company the Arbitron numbers, and they were very limited in what they could do with it. So unless an enterprising reporter went out and sought out this information and put it in his story, you'd see the top 10 stations perhaps in your local newspaper, but the public station wouldn't be listed. So people would often assume incorrectly, even a lot of broadcasters, that those stations didn't show up.
So in a way, the advertising salesmen and women could be just taking advantage of that lack of knowledge, and the unsuspecting retailer wouldn't realize that there were other options.
That's very true. So now that these numbers will be published alongside the others, you're going to see in a lot of markets that public station is in the top five or even sometimes the top two or three stations in the market.
So what do you think that's going to do to the bottom line we've been talking about?
I don't think it will change it much. Things move very slowly. Generally speaking, in radio, money gets segregated into the types of advertising you're going to do. So, and oftentimes, ethnic formats feel this brunt. If you are a black station or if you are a Hispanic station, your money may not come out of the same general market pool.
Uh-huh.
It will be allocated, say, this amount for Hispanic radio.
Right.
Same is true for those amounts that go to public radio.
I see. So that consequently, since it's segmented, they may well not suffer a loss.
That's true. But over time, as an awareness grows that these audiences are larger, you may see in future years a bigger percent given to public radio. This is all speculation.
Sure, sure. Now, do you follow the development of commercial radio elsewhere, for example, in the United Kingdom, where we have kind of a reverse effect from what you just described? Here we have public radio growing in the United Kingdom. There's been the long-established, high-quality BBC, and only of late has there been commercial radio.
Yeah, they did not get commercial radio until 1973.
Which is quite amazing, isn't it?
It is. And most of the, it's hard to say, but I'd say the majority of the world, it had state radio.
Right.
For a long time, whereas in this country, it grew up as a private enterprise.
And in the UK, the state radio, the BBC, which is well respected, has what's essentially an endowment from the government because radio fees pay the BBC budget or the bulk of it. What does that mean to the commercial sector?
Well, in the early days, it meant they had to work a little harder, but they also were able to do formats. They were able to be much more nimble than changing the entire BBC.
Right.
For the most part, the BBC has been national networks. They do have some local stations, but mostly the BBC is national.
Right.
Whereas these news stations were allowed to be local.
And their success is as it is in this country with these enormous returns, or?
I don't think they get near those returns, but they have a lot more regulation and restrictions placed on them.
Right. Regulations over format, regulations over amount of commercial time, that sort of thing?
In fact, there are also regulations as to the quality of commercials. When I was visiting Capital Radio in London, they brought out a tape and played it for me of commercials that were perfectly fine in the United States that they could never air.
Really? What sorts of things were forbidden?
Things that are obnoxious and loud. A lot of our car dealer spots.
Yes, indeed.
That kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Intriguing. So it is there one format that is more successful than others in terms of bringing in money in this country, or is it a matter of how you do it?
It depends on how you track it. The format that does the best job of converting the number of listeners listening to dollars is sports radio.
Really?
It will generally bring in it's on a ratio, and it'll bring in 2 to 1, two times what the rating would indicate you should make.
Uh-huh.
So if you had a 1% share of the market, you would bill as if you had 2.
And why is that?
Men 18 to 49 are highly desirable and hard to reach. Coupled with the fact that it's very easy to sell, generally, a manager of a business on sports radio, he gets it. There's not much thinking to do.
Sure.
Ball games. Yep. I love ball games.
Right.
Now, the format that is the largest in the United States, at least in terms of the most number of stations, that would be country music.
Still
is.
And largest number of stations, best moneymaker?
Now, it's not the best moneymaker, although it becomes a little harder to track the total dollars because so many of those stations are in small markets and there's nobody going in to see how much they make the way we do for a Clear Channel or another public company who have to report their numbers.
Uh-huh.
So it's a little harder to go out and find out what the exact amount of money being made is with it because these stations don't report their earnings to anyone.
So there could be a lot of stations, but not that much money being generated.
That's true.
Is it an indicator that Los Angeles no longer has a country music station? Does that suggest something is changing?
I don't think it suggests anything. There was a story I read in the Los Angeles paper that said this is happening all over. Country music in coastal areas is just falling apart and faltering, which wasn't true at all. San Diego has two successful stations. Seattle, the number one station in town, is often the country station, and they just added another one that's in the top 5. Portland, Oregon has two very successful ones. San Jose has a tremendously successful country
station. No accounting for taste.
So it really is a case in Los Angeles of an interesting situation with an owner that needed to maximize certain numbers. I mean, it gets back to programming by balance sheet.
Right.
It wasn't that there isn't a great audience. It was the most listened to country station in the United States. It's just they played with the numbers and thought they could make it look better for Wall Street another way.
And what did they change that station to?
They changed it to what's called a rhythmic adult contemporary.
And what the heck does that mean?
It is pop danceable tunes from the 80s and 90s.
Uh-huh.
With a little bit from today.
Huh.
And radio sometimes can be a little bit lemming-like. The only station that has ratings in this format so far is in Seattle, and they say they're terrific. I see so-so when I look at them.
Now, you say the largest number of stations, of the format that has the largest number of stations is country. What's next?
After country, and I'm not looking at the list, but I believe it is now, it's going to either be adult contemporary or news talk, and I think it's news talk.
News talk meaning not a all news station and not a station?
It can be, that includes all news and all talk and combinations in between.
I see. So news and talk.
Yes, but excluding sports. If you put sports in there, it would definitely solidify it as number two.
And that's a good moneymaker, news and talk.
It can be. It can also be a very expensive format to do. It depends on how you do it. If all you do is put on network shows that you don't have to pay for, it's very inexpensive.
But does that necessarily mean that it's generating a decent return?
It can. It really depends on how much effort you put into promoting it in the community. And when you switch to a news and talk format, you generally have to wait a while to see that return. It takes a longer period of time for people to decide they love that talk show host than it does to decide if they like the way you play Led Zeppelin or not.
Sure, and they already knew the Led Zeppelin song, or at least they learned how to dance to it quickly, but it takes a while to develop an affinity for the next Arthur Godfrey.
That's right. But if you do local news talk, you need a high-quality level of person, much higher than you would need to spin records, generally.
Right.
Then it can be a very expensive format. But the trick is, if you make it through that acceptance period, then you have hosts who really do bond with the listener. You can run a large number of commercials. Talk radio lends itself to that more than music radio. And you can make a lot of money. But a lot of people have switched to talk radio thinking they'd see results in 6 months and dropped out, not realizing it takes perhaps several years to build it up.
Several years, really.
Mm-hmm. But once you do, you're in.
And it's hard to dislodge you.
Very much so. The top station in San Francisco has been atop the ratings with the talk format year after year after year after year.
KGO since Jimmy Carter was president.
Mm-hmm.
You are listening to the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Laufer, sitting in for Peter B., and pleased to be talking shop with Robert Unmock from In3 Partners. And, Robert, in a moment, I want you to weigh in on Air America, success or failure, okay?
Very good.
We'll do that. Stay tuned.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. See, people feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants. But we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Take a look at your drive home in and around
around the Monterey Bay area. We are dealing with a few new accidents. Let's go to Gilroy first off, dealing with this crash. Southbound along 101, it's on the 152 off-ramp. Now, a vehicle went off the roadway there and into a ditch. No injuries, but it'll take a tow truck, and they will block off that right lane when the tow truck arrives. We'll keep an eye on it for you. In Soquel, 41st Avenue at Soquel Drive, an accident here. A vehicle versus a bicyclist, just minor injuries. In Carmel, a couple of problems. First off, Rio Road at Highway 1, an accident here. Just a fender bender. Hopefully, it should be cleared rather shortly. Also, Highway 1 at Carpenter Street, an accident has just been reported. Crews are headed out to check it out. This look at traffic brought to you by Dry Cleaner's Secret. Pick up a box of Dry Cleaner's Secret at Costco this weekend. And also meet Lynn from The Young and the Restless. For more information, visit drycleanerssecret.com. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
You are listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm Peter Lauffer, sitting in for Peter B. while he goes back to Chicago to hang out. Pleased to be here, and pleased to have Robert Unmacht on the line from In3 Partners. We're talking shop this hour. We're talking radio. We'll get to Air America in a minute, but I've one other question. I was looking around getting ready for this hour, Robert, and I was reading Rodney Ho, who writes about radio for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And he says that Atlanta is the number 10 radio market, but it's number 6 in the revenue that it brings in. What accounts for that?
It is the large number of commuters in cars.
Ah.
It is the same reason that Los Angeles is the number 1 billing market, even though New York is the largest market in terms of people listening.
Uh-huh. Okay. That certainly makes sense, and in fact, maybe it must have been that same column, because I'm looking at my notes here, that the drive time is number 4 in Atlanta regarding national drive time averages. People spend 30 minutes plus in their car in Atlanta, so that makes sense.
And for radio, that's a captive audience and one they have counted on, and that is why I fear the day we start having devices in our car that will allow us to listen to internet radio, maybe store that morning show that you missed for late listening later in the day on a hard drive or flash memory.
Sure.
Things like that, that's when we'll begin to see a big, big downturn in listening to terrestrial radio as we know it.
Yeah, makes sense. Now, let's move over to Air America. Air America gets so much publicity, but the suggestion is that the audience isn't that big.
Well, the audience is actually pretty decent, and Air America is a radio network. So you have to realize that they are providing shows to stations that are in a liberal talk format. Not all of those stations, in fact, most of those stations are not airing Air America 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
There are many other fine shows that like Ed Schultz and Stephanie Miller.
Sure. Or the Peter B. Collins Show, for example.
That fit onto those stations as well.
Absolutely.
And when you have a station with a nice amount of backing, say Clear Channel again, we picked on them before, but in Portland, Oregon, they run a very successful conservative talk station and an extremely successful liberal talk station.
Doesn't hurt that the town tends to have a reputation to be liberal, maybe.
Yes. The only reason liberal talk radio got such a slow start and took such a backseat to conservative talk radio is that the people who were most interested in liberal talk radio tended to be more interested in the message than in providing entertaining radio.
Right, and there were an awful lot of people that were hired because of their message or because of their profile that did not understand how to make radio. And as you were and I were talking early in the hour, it does take a certain talent and expertise to make radio. And just because it's Jerry Brown or just because it's Mario Cuomo does not mean it's going to be good radio.
That's true. And Cuomo's show was a horrible failure because it wasn't at all interesting.
As terrific a guy as he is.
Exactly. And on the other side, Rush Limbaugh was always, he started out as an on-air personality. He knew radio inside out. And a lot of the conservative talk show hosts that have come along over the years were old radio guys who played music and had those skills. And when you found someone who was 50, 60 years old and very white and very male, they tended to be conservative more often than they were liberal, and they were good at radio.
Yes, yes, and ready to take a paycheck and do as they were told.
Exactly.
Because they didn't have any problem moving from top 40 to MOR when they were music guys.
So there was a bigger pool of talent waiting to do conservative radio than there was to do liberal.
Well, wait a minute. The logic isn't complete there. They were there, but why were they doing... Ah, you're saying they're doing conservative because they're 50, 60 years old and they're white.
They kind of meet the profile.
Yeah, so they do. So then we get back to Air America and all of this scuttlebutt about their financial concerns. Are they going out of business?
I don't think that they are, but who can say, because it's not been particularly well managed, and it's been through several sets of management. And the reason it got off to such a bad start was we had people who were very dedicated to what they wanted to do but didn't quite take enough time to learn how to do the business end of it.
Yeah.
The fact that they're here now today, I think, is a testament that this thing can work, because I've seen so many networks. I've got a file folder of networks you've either never heard about or went out of business in the first 6 months.
Right.
And it's full.
Yes, I'll bet so. And now it's been, what, 3 years for Air America?
So the fact that they're still here despite the bad management tends to indicate there's a product there that people want to consume.
And is that your expert opinion? If there is a talk radio show that is done well in terms of radio theater and radio production, should it make any difference in terms of garnering an audience and finding revenue, whether it skews left or skews right?
No, it really doesn't. Rush Limbaugh didn't get as big as he did solely by conservatives listening. He put on a very entertaining show.
Right. Why have we lost, though, the days of the kind of radio stations that were essentially the equivalent of MOR, middle-of-the-road music stations, but they were talk, and the guy from 10 to 2 maybe leaned right, and the guy from 2 to 6 leaned left?
Well, research, for one.
Uh-huh.
Somebody discovered that with Rush Limbaugh as the center stone, you could build a great conservative line up around it and have something to market. Another reason you saw a change from that type of station, and they were wonderful, KNBR in San Francisco was my favorite for years.
Yes, and it's one of my alma maters. It was a terrific station.
But what they discovered is that talk radio would work very well, and by eliminating the music, they didn't have to pay the licensing royalties for the music.
Right.
So you actually had a built-in extra profit margin if you could eliminate the music.
And that's a consequential expense, the licensing royalties?
That is a very sizable expense.
Uh-huh. But then why going all left or all right and not having a mix?
Well, from that point, it was somebody discovered, and this is a very lemming-like business, once it works someplace, or even if they think it might work someplace, everybody adopts it. And once we had a few successes with very conservative talk radio, it was copied.
It's bizarre, isn't it, that you keep pointing out the way the industry just follows itself, and there's some fear out of striking out and trying something.
And it was easier to do. We have to say it was easier to do because there was a huge amount of conservative talk programming available for free to anyone who wanted it.
Yeah. And why is that? Is that because there was something going on behind the scenes where there was a push out of the Republican Party or out of conservative think tanks and it wasn't matched on the other side?
No, it was for the most part the fact that, as we were talking about just a minute ago, that so many of the people in radio fell into the conservative camp and they did what they were comfortable with.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? And now it's so well taken advantage of by the political right.
Oh, very, very, very much so. But I think the other side is learning. The success of Al Franken, Stephanie Miller, and Ed Schultz, it's proving that if you're entertaining, you will build an audience either way.
And is the revenue following that? Are they attracting money?
It certainly is for stations like Clear Channel Station in Portland, and CBS has a liberal station.
Where?
In Seattle, Washington.
In Seattle. Huh. And so your prognosis, Air America will... or will not be around after the election?
I think right now I would say it will be. Certainly its talk show hosts, I think, are now strong enough that they'll continue on even if the corporate structure of Air America crumbles.
Huh.
But I can't say for sure that it's on solid footing because it has not been particularly well managed.
Yeah, clearly. Well, it's just been a fascinating hour for me. I hope that we entertained the audience as much as we entertained each other with some of this inside baseball talk. But as you said at the beginning, when you say radio on the bus, people want to talk about it because it is so much a piece of the fabric of our lives and our culture.
Just like electricity, you don't know how much it means to you until it's not there one day.
Indeed, that's true. If someone wants to get a hold of you for some reason and ask you some further questions, is there a place that makes sense, Robert Unmucked?
Well, they can email me.
Okay. How do they find you?
That is robert-u at in3partners, in3partners.com.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's been a pleasure meeting you on the radio and talking with you.
Thanks for having me.
And there he goes, a couple of minutes before 5 o'clock in the afternoon here on the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Lauffer. It fascinates me, but then it's my business. I hope it fascinated you. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Greece with a news reporter who is well-established as a foreign correspondent and just returned from that part of the world, Terry Phillips. So stay tuned for that here on the Peter B. Collins program.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. House leaders have launched an investigation of the Foley emails. They've even set up a toll-free number.
If you have information regarding former Congressman Mark Foley and his contacts or communications with any current or former House pages...
CBS News political correspondent Gloria Borger reports Speaker Dennis Hastert ignored calls for his resignation today, but said he's deeply sorry.
The bottom line is that we're taking responsibility because ultimately... As someone has said in Washington before, the buck stops here.
Privately, Republicans say that Hastert's mea culpa was the very least he could do, but they're far from sure it will be enough. On the record, they're trying to be upbeat. Hopefully, he's cleared the air so members and challengers can have this off the front pages of the paper. But other House Republicans remain panicked by the Foley scandal and wonder if the only way to really recover is to jettison Hastert.
House Republican leaders have issued statements of support for Hastert, and President Bush called him today, thanking him for taking responsibility. Long processions of black buggies were the order of the day in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where the Amish community buried four of the girls killed in Monday's schoolhouse rampage. All the while, CBS News correspondent Drew Levinson reports the emphasis has been on acceptance and forgiveness.
A visiting clergyman who spent time with one family who lost a daughter said the grandfather was there and he was instructing the other kids not to think about the evil man who had done this, but rather to think about moving on for all.
The funeral for the fifth dead girl will be held tomorrow, and there was word today that one of the critically wounded children was being taken off life support. Union workers at 16 Goodyear tire and rubber plants are on strike, saying they won't make any more contract concessions. KRLD Radio's Charlie Hodges has the story in Dallas.
Local union rep Joe Wyatt says Goodyear is now targeting only one plant for closure, the one in Tyler, Texas.
We've done all that we've done for them, work. Concessions and everything to keep them here and keep them competitive, and they just want to cut our throats.
Goodyear promised 3 years ago the plant would be safe from closing now if workers met incentives. Wyatt says they did, which is why the union will not agree to any plant closings now. Charlie Hodges, CBS News, Dallas.
The company says the union refuses to help Goodyear stay competitive in a global economy. It's a familiar scene for John Mark Carr. But this time, the man who once claimed involvement in the JonBenet Ramsey case has been led to freedom. A judge today dismissed the child pornography charges against Carr in Santa Rosa, California, for lack of evidence. The California Appeals Court has upheld the state's ban on gay marriage. It's the third setback for advocates of same-sex unions. They've also suffered recent defeats in New York and Washington State. On Wall Street, another record, the Dow up 16 points to close at 11,866. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff!
Driving around with worn-out shocks and struts can reduce ride quality, handling, braking, and even cause premature tire wear. Fortunately, this month in Napa, you can get mail-in rebates of up to $60 on the purchase of Napa Sensitrac and Reflex shocks and struts. Plus, all Napa shocks and struts are engineered to be as good or better than the ones that originally came on your car. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Is it just me, or is NBC Thursday great again? I mean, it was good before, but now you flat out got the two best comedies on TV, okay? My Name is Earl and The Office. Listen, these shows won Emmys for a reason. They're funny, all right? Then, Howie Mandel, Money and 26 Models, Deal or No Deal, no-brainer. And ER, is it just me, or is it awesome? John Stamos is great. He's easy on the eyes. Not that I'm looking. Anyway, NBC Thursday is all new, and it's great. And it's not just me.
When you've got to go, you've got to go, and big cities have tried a variety of ways to accommodate human needs, some more successfully than others.
I'm Heather Bosch in Seattle, where this costs the city of Seattle about $700,000 a year, the cost of maintaining five high-tech portable toilets. Many people, from tourists to the homeless, rely on them. But this homeless woman says they also draw crime.
Everything is being done in there.
Prostitution or drugs.
Everything. Assault, theft, extortion.
In fact, there have been so many problems that some city leaders say the toilet program has to go. Heather Bosch for CBS News, Seattle.
Speaking of high tech, this week's World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin, features an automatic milking machine from Sweden. The cow steps in, a robotic arm hooks on, and 7 or 8 minutes later, the job is done, untouched by human hands. One Pennsylvania dairy farmer says his herd got used to the machine in just a few days. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
If you drive a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury and need service, there's never been a better time for great deals than right now. It's the Right Now factory-authorized service event at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. You'll find special offers by the truckload on tires, brakes, batteries, and more, all installed by Ford factory-trained experts. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, the Right Now factory-authorized service event ends soon.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
Six minutes after 5 o'clock in the afternoon on the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Laufer, pleased to be sitting here while Peter B. Collins goes back to Chicago to play, and happy to be broadcasting to Coos Bay and Monterey and Eureka and Phoenix and Sacramento. And in fact, this is going to be the travel log hour of the show, and in a moment I'm going to introduce you to my friend and colleague Terry Phillips, former CBS News correspondent, just back from Greece. But here's what I want you to think about in the meantime, if you care to, and that is, where would you rather be? I was just talking with Peter B's producer, Matt, here, and he was saying that if the election goes the way he doesn't want it to go in November, he might just pick up and move because he's had enough of this. And if you've had enough of this for political reasons or for economic reasons or because you're just bored, I'd be curious where you'd rather be. Where do you want to move? Where would you rather live? than here in California or down there in Arizona. Is there a place that you would rather be? Are you already planning? Are you packing up and getting ready to go get rid of that California equity while the housing prices are still pretty high and move yourself to North Dakota where you can get a farm for just about nothing? Let me know. I'd like to talk about it, and I've got a phone number for you if you would. 888-573-8372. 888-573-8372 is the phone number here at the Peter B. Collins program. Let me know where you would rather be. Terry Phillips is on the line, and you say you're in a Vietnamese restaurant in Boston?
In a suburb of Boston called Dorchester.
Well, how's the food? Have you eaten already?
We just finished dinner, and it was spectacular. It's maybe the best food I have had all day.
Yeah, and certainly maybe the best food you've had since you came back from Greece, which is where you just were. I cannot imagine that you would say, no matter how good that Vietnamese food is, that it was better than the food in Greece.
My father would never forgive me if I said anything else, Peter.
Indeed. Your Greek father would never forgive you. Now, you just came back from a couple of weeks in Greece, and you live in California. Would you rather live in Greece than in California? Did you have such a good time you're making plans to move to Greece?
Well, you know, there's Greece and there's Greece. I was in Athens, which is a big, bustling European city. And I'm more of a small-town boy myself, but then I spent a long weekend on the island of Aegina in a village there with a population of, I don't know, a few hundred, I guess. That was pretty nice. I had a hotel room overlooking the Aegean Sea. I went swimming, and that was tough to beat.
Yeah, that sounds appealing. Now, give us a menu. What'd you have for dinner?
Let's see. There was grilled octopus. There was, of course, the traditional moussaka, the fried eggplant dish. I had pastizia, which I think my mother makes better than this restaurant did, but it was quite nice. It started off with a glass of ouzo, that licorice-flavored drink.
Yep.
And some nice resin-flavored wine, retsina. Of course, the village salad that comes with every meal. And I think I topped it off with coffee and baklava.
Well, that combined with swimming in the Aegean and having a view of the sea from the hotel room sounds like a pretty good bet.
I must also express my appreciation formally and informally to the Bank of Greece that indirectly paid for my trip. I got a grant from an organization that you're familiar with called Internews that helps emerging democracies around the world, and they wanted to send some American journalists to Greece to report on what was going on there. So it was sort of a paid working vacation.
Well, indeed. And before we get to what you were doing there, doesn't this compromise your credibility? What are you doing here, taking something from the Bank of Greece in order to report on Greece?
Well, I'm no more constrained by these circumstances than I was when I worked at CBS and didn't find any trouble saying nasty things about hotels, even though the president and actually owner of the network at that time was a hotelier. So, you know, I don't really care where the money comes from.
So you really do feel unrestrained. You would not compromise what you're going to say based on who funds you.
And frankly, Peter, there was no need because people were being so open with me and both positive and critical about their circumstances on the subject I was reporting, but I'm just the storyteller. I'm reporting other people's stories. I don't have an agenda.
So let's hear some of those stories. What were you there reporting on?
My mission was to cover the impact of Silicon Valley on Greece and to perhaps to find some impact of Greek use of technology on us here in America.
Did you so find such?
I did. First of all, there are a couple of interesting anomalies. One is that the percentage of the Greek population which uses cell phones, which I know we don't produce in Silicon Valley, but still, it's part of our greater high-tech world. The percentage of Greeks using cell phones exceeds 100% because some people actually have two or even three mobile telephones. By contrast, the percentage of Greeks who use the Internet is about 20%, 20%.
As opposed to something way over 50 in this country, right?
Oh, yeah, well over 50
yeah.
in this country.
And what accounts for that?
Well, it's a couple of things. First of all, with the respect to the cell phones, Greeks love to talk. Greeks and Italians comprise the highest usage of mobile telephones in all of Europe. And cell phones are comparatively inexpensive there, and the normal telephone network, the hard wire fixed line old-fashioned telephone network, is really pretty poor there. So cell phones are very attractive. But then
that does not preclude looking at the Internet, because, of course, they could use a sophisticated cell phone to use the Internet.
They could, but that is neither cost-effective nor is it promoted very much. And there's the fact that Greeks are very gregarious people. They like to be around each other. They like to talk to each other. But when they go home, they spend time with their families. They don't want to go off into a little room in front of a screen by themselves. And so the Internet is really not so attractive to Greeks as it is to us. I believe that we Americans are more willing to spend time alone than Greeks are.
So the effect of Greece on Silicon Valley and technology in this country?
Well, it's not exactly the tail wagging the dog, but I think there is a lesson to be learned here, which is that, as near as I can tell, Greeks are among the happiest people on the planet. They are very proud of their history, of what they've given the world, everything from fire to democracy to international competitive sports. And they really know how to live. Almost every Greek I've ever met will dance at the drop of a glass of ouzo, but they wouldn't really drop a glass of ouzo.
No, of course not.
You know, they're enthusiastic, exuberant people. And I think that they use technology, much of which we've invented, in a way that suits their culture. I don't think we have quite figured that out yet over here. And I think there's a lesson to be learned from that.
You mean we have not figured out how to seduce them into applying the technology as much as they could to their lifestyle?
That's right. And maybe it's because we're a young nation and we haven't yet figured out what our lifestyle is. It's still emerging.
Maybe we're not drinking enough Retsina and Ouzo. Terry Phillips, can you stick with us a little longer in that Vietnamese restaurant, or do you have to go back to your whatever?
I'm peeking around the corner, and my companions are still sitting patiently, so sure, I'll stick around a while.
Okay, terrific. You are listening to the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Laufer, chatting it up with my friend and colleague, the former CBS News correspondent Terry Phillips, just back from Greece. I want to hear from you, and Ammon, thank you for giving us a call. Hang on there. We'll get to you shortly. I want to hear from you if you have wanderlust to abandon California. If you're thinking about or actually planning on leaving, if you've left, give us a call at 888-573-8372. 888-573-8372 for the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Laufer.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings. Hear how you can talk to an active investor who's still making money and learn how you can join him in one of his own pre-construction investments. Call him at 866-383-9977, 866-383-9977. And don't forget, you can be a part of the Rock and Relax giveaway just by calling in during the show or log on to rockrollerrealestate.com. Sunday mornings at 10 right here on KRXA.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay. Right now, we're looking at problems in Soquel, 41st Avenue at Soquel Drive. It's a crash involving a vehicle and a bicyclist. Also in Carmel, Rio Road at Highway 1, a crash in full swing. Just a fender bender, though. It should move on relatively soon. Let's go to Gilroy on a couple of problems. We had an earlier crash. Southbound 101 at the 152 off-ramp. It's still there. Vehicle into a ditch, waiting on a tow truck to remove it. Now in Gilroy, a new crash. Southbound along 101 at Monterey Street. Vehicles apparently swerving to avoid a tire and then an accident in the left-hand lane as well. This look at traffic is brought to you by Mancini Sleep World. Live life and rest easy during Mancini Sweet World's best mattress sale. We'll beat anyone's advertised price by 10% and your mattress is free. Call 1-800-64-SLEEP. I'm Alex Daly and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
Where would you rather be? This is the Peter B. Collins program. We're glad one of the places you are is wherever that is that you're listening to the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Lauffer, filling in for Peter B. And this hour, we're conducting a travelogue of sorts, talking with my friend and colleague, Terry Phillips, who's just back from Greece, and asking you where you would rather be. Are you thinking about moving? Have you moved? Are you preparing to, because you've made the decision? Where would you rather be than where you are right now? We are a nation filled with wanderlust historically, and we're famous for being ready to leave on pretty much the drop of the proverbial hat. And if that's where you find yourself right now, give me a call. We'll talk about it. 888-573-8372 is the phone number. 888-573-8372. So, Terry Phillips, when you got back to Athens and you were getting on the airplane for the ride home, were you conflicted, wishing that maybe you had some more time in Greece?
No, there was no conflict at all. Of course, I wished I had more time in Greece. It's a tough place to leave. The island, of course, was even more difficult because it's so seductive. It's so much a slice of paradise. And, you know, Peter, you're at least as peripatetic as I am, maybe more so. You've certainly found this difficult when you've landed in an exciting fascinating part of the world. It's tough to pack up and come back to reality.
No question. And part of it is that come back to reality. And even I know that you speak Greek. And so it's different for you than for those of us who go there and we don't speak the language. But even so, because you are an American, one of the things we get when we're in another country is a certain amount of relief, especially from the rawness of our culture currently, given the contemporary events that are taking place. Just to be out of the country is freeing in some manner.
Certainly. And it's also nice to be able to see the wonderful things about the United States from abroad. We can.
And what's her name?
Perspective.
What are these wonderful things that you felt? No, you're absolutely correct, and it is easy to lose the perspective of the fact that things aren't all bad here. What came to mind for you when you were in Greece reflecting on this country?
Well, I'll tell you one serious thing and one less serious thing. The serious thing is that in spite of all our complaints about our lifestyle, the fact we're all getting fat by the minute, one thing we have managed to essentially eliminate from the public places where we gather is cigarette smoke. And one of the great inconveniences of life in Greece for me is that, I would guess something like 70 or 80% of the adult population still smoke cigarettes.
That's just astounding. So, and no restriction in public places?
Essentially not. I mean, there's the token gesture that we used to make here, too, where you'll separate a restaurant into smoking and non-smoking areas. But, of course, as we well recall, that was really a token gesture.
Sure.
The same on airplanes, even worse on airplanes. But the more frivolous thing, I would say, that I appreciated.
Well, wait a minute. That's the best you can come up with for something that you appreciate from the American culture is the lack of cigarette smoking here? That's a pretty lean list.
Well, I really liked being in Greece. Well, okay, shall I talk about how we're the freest nation on earth?
No, I don't think that's going to go over with me or this audience, no. So what was the frivolous thing?
Well, the frivolous thing is our humor. I was very pleased to find a lot of American comedy on Greek TV. I didn't really miss very many of the jokes. In fact, one of the first things that I caught on the television, I know you don't watch much, being the anti-tube guy that you are, but I watched Jon Stewart from The Daily Show interviewing the president of Pakistan.
Really?
And, I mean, there's just so many crazy things in that sentense, but it was very, very funny. I mean, they were both very, very funny.
And are these English dubbed when they're played over there, or was it in English?
Well, actually, that happened to be on the CNN International channel, so that's kind of a cheat. But still, it's available there, you know. And so on one hand, I can say, yes, we have these wonderful little things that I enjoy from life back in America. On the other hand, you know, they enjoy them too. So what do I find here that I don't find there? I don't know. It's an awfully convenient country, ours. I think I would be happy almost anywhere. I'll tell you that anecdote of the tourists who show up and ask what people are like in a foreign country, and one finds everything unpleasant, the other finds everything pleasant, and the local guy says, well, things here are pretty much the same as they are where you come from. I think we bring our happiness and unhappiness with us.
Yeah, although I have to tell you that the traveling that I've done overseas since September 11th has left me feeling a little bit less oppressed when I'm out of this country. When I leave this country and I'm somewhere else since then, there's a pall, this element of fear that's been perpetrated and perpetuated by the administration, not to negate or minimize the disasters of September 11th, but the way this drumbeat of misery and terrorizing has come out of Washington, it's impossible to completely keep that at bay, at least for me. And when I get out of this country, I feel a palpable sense of relief vis-a-vis that.
Well, since you won't minimize September 11th, let me. Do you know what the average number of deaths in the United States of America is every day?
I don't have that figure, no.
It's approximately the number of people who died on September 11th. So that day, twice as many people as usually die in a day died.
Yeah, but be careful, Terry. The people that die, if that number is correct, on a daily basis are dying of natural causes or in an automobile wreck, and I would imagine the percentage who are murdered, which those who died in the events of September 11th were, is minimal.
And is the loss of a loved one who dies of cancer after a prolonged illness any less painful than someone who dies at the hands of a murderer?
Well, I'll have to think about that for a moment, but what I can say about that is that the one who succumbs to cancer is dying because they're sick as opposed to somebody killing him. And if somebody was not killing the guy who got killed, they'd still be alive.
More people die in car wrecks than die from terrorism, I mean, by far and away.
And?
And so why am I being treated like a criminal? Because a very small number of people were killed at the hands of criminals.
And how are you being treated as a criminal?
Well, I had to subject myself to scrutiny similar to that which convicted felons must face behind bars for the privilege of flying on an American airplane. And this makes your case earlier on that life feels more oppressive here than it does overseas. But was September 11th a tragedy? Yeah, it sure was for the people who lost all those lives. But for us all, was it a tragedy? I don't think so.
Well, I don't know here, Terry. I don't know. This is sensitive. This is a sensitive neighborhood. I think it was a tragedy. I don't think it was the national calamity that has been used and abused, but it certainly was a tragedy. I, for one, always hated the World Trade Towers from an architectural standpoint, and now I miss them desperately when I go back to New York.
I think it is very easy for us, even for you and for me, Peter, to get caught up in the hysteria that was exacerbated by this administration.
Well, there's no question that's true. Listen, Terry, if you'd like to continue this, we can, because it's fascinating. Let me ask you to stick around for a couple of minutes more, at least. And you are listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. That's Terry Phillips. I'm Peter Laufer.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Dennis Donahue is running for mayor of Salinas because he has a vision of a great city and a plan to make it real. Dennis's community safety plan has earned the trust and the endorsement of the Salinas Police Officers Association, the Monterey County Deputy Sheriffs Association, the California Organization of Police and Sheriffs, and the National Latino Police Officers Association. Imagine a great city. Vote Dennis Donahue for mayor of Salinas.
I'm Dennis Donahue, and I approve this message.
And it is the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Peter Lauper, sitting in for Peter B., who went back to Chicago for a few days. On the line outside of Boston is my friend and colleague, the former CBS News correspondent Terry Phillips, just back from Greece. And you were only going to stick around for a half an hour, Terry, but you've changed the subject on us radically. And I must tell the audience, they are welcome to weigh in on what you've been saying regarding September 11th. The phone number is 888-573-8372. Have you had too much ouzo today?
Not at all, Peter. I don't mean to suggest by focusing on the word tragedy that what happened on September 11th was not sad for everyone who lost a loved one that day. But to refer to it as a tragedy because all those people died at the same time because of an apparent attack, I think misses the point. The tragedy is what we've done to ourselves, which is to turn into something ugly, something worse than those people we call our enemies, to turn into something un-American.
Well, I don't disagree with you there. I do not disagree with you even remotely that the response to September 11th has been a tragedy, the official American government response and all of the ancillary activities that have occurred because of it. Maybe it's just a matter of how you're structuring it. It sounds to me as if you're minimizing the reality of this attack, and even to say alleged or supposed attack. What does that mean?
Well, Peter, let me ask you a question. Who was responsible for what happened on September 11th, 2001?
Well, we don't know the answer to that, Terry.
Exactly. We don't know. And yet, we have done a lot of things as a country based on certain assumptions. So, to call this, as has been done officially by our government, an attack, an act of terrorism, and so forth and so on, yeah, I mean, it was terrifying. It was terroristic. But we don't know who's responsible. And yet, tens of thousands of innocent people are dead because of our hysterical response to this awful event.
Absolutely, no question. And yet, to bat that back at you, and you are a journalist, who do you think's responsible for it?
I don't know, and I'm willing to accept that as the current answer to that question. I don't know who's responsible, and therefore, as a citizen, I presume I still have some rights of citizenship under our Constitution.
Well, you have the right to have a Vietnamese dinner tonight outside of Boston.
But that's as far as it goes.
No, I think a little bit more. But seriously, you were about to say?
Well, I was about to say that I don't want my government, using my tax dollars, to start killing people without at least finding some evidence and presenting to me, as a member of this democracy, some evidence of who was responsible. Instead, what I got was the response of a demagogue, of a collection of demagogues. And I didn't vote in favor of this. I was never asked my opinion about this, nor, frankly, were my representatives in Congress.
Well, wait a minute here. You're not supposed to vote. We aren't fortunate enough to have a society small enough that you can vote on individual events regarding how the government is going to respond. That's why we have a representative form of government. And, in fact, your representatives did vote.
On a declaration of war? Never happened.
No, not on a declaration of war, on an authorization for this war to occur.
Well,
they gave the guy in the White House carte blanche.
Maybe. If you ask my representative in Congress and if you ask your representative in Congress if that's what they voted for, I'm pretty sure they would disagree.
Well, if they did not take the time to slow down the process and study what they voted on, then the onus is on them, or are you suggesting that they voted on something and then the executive branch took advantage of that and pushed it further than the intent of Congress?
There's no doubt in my mind, and that is exactly the expression of most members of Congress who've discussed this in public. They were hoodwinked. They were lied to. They were cheated. This has been an enormous con by the very people who are benefiting the most from this catastrophic global never-ending war.
And benefiting how?
Financially. I mean, this is a dream come true. I'm trying to avoid words that don't belong on the radio. This is a dream come true for arms manufacturers, for big business in general. It's inhuman in its scale.
It's just, the bulk of what you say, I cannot disagree with, and I find it just extraordinarily depressing.
And the underlying statement, which you made earlier on, was because of the tragedy. And I disagree with that.
Yeah, well, that's where we separate. That's where we go our independent ways. Because I do find what happened a tragedy. Let's let the audience weigh in. If you can continue to corral that corner in the Vietnamese restaurant in Boston, and you don't mind sticking around, I think it's important for you to be answering to the audience here. Is that okay with you?
It's fine with me, Peter.
888-573-8372 is the telephone number. I'm Peter Laufer. On the line is Terry Phillips, former CBS News correspondent, just back from Greece with some strong opinions regarding September 11th and 5 years on. 888-573-8372 for your participation. Ben in Salinas, welcome to the program. You're on the air with Terry Phillips and me, Peter Laufer.
Yes, I'd like to thank Terry Phillips for being an open-minded, intelligent person. Yes, 3,000 people did die on that day, but that was a crime. Why was it not pursued as a crime? Why should we have to sacrifice our rights as citizens here to pursue? The Congress authorized Mr. Bush to go after the perpetrators of 9/11. That means find out who put those demolition charges in those buildings. Find out who did this crime. That's not the blank carte blanche to go bomb Iraq. Congress only authorized them to go and pursue the perpetrators of this crime. Why are there 110,000 more or more Iraqi beautiful women and children, grandmothers, old ladies, and babies dead in their graves, not to mention 60,000 American casualties pursuing this war of hegemony for the banksters that are looting America? America.
Wait a minute, Ben. Let's let Terry respond to you. And, Ben, do you really believe there were charges in that building?
Absolutely. And the proof is there, sir. Oh, we have to open our eyes and face the damn truth. What's there is there, and what's not is not.
Terry?
Well, Ben, the only thing that I would encourage you to do is also to remain open-minded.
I am.
I don't know a lot of things, and I'm content to admit that there are many things I don't know. I think it's worth pursuing, worth investigating theories such as the one that you present, but I, for one, don't want to conclude anything until evidence has been presented to us. My main complaint is that we are all of us paying for the selfish and cowardly acts of a few very, very greedy and evil people, and there has been so far no justice presented other than the justice of mass murder that we are now perpetrating as the greatest country in the world, in inverted commas.
All we need is the truth, and we do not have to sacrifice our rights to habeas corpus and submit ourselves to torture because of the people in Washington. And please, people, our country is being looted. You're giving away, when you don't fight for this injustice, you're literally laying down while the futures of your children and grandchildren are being looted and stolen. If that doesn't make us mad, what kind of a country have we become?
Yeah, if we don't care about money, we don't care about anything.
Thank you, sir.
Ben and Salinas, thank you so much for the call. Fascinating, emotion that this brings up, Terry, and
yeah.
understandably, one of the things that has always, let me just give that telephone number out again to those who are listening, especially up in Coos Bay. I understand it's a new affiliate for the Peter B. Collins program up there in Coos Bay, and the phone number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 888-573-8372. It's interesting to compare and contrast the bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma City and what occurred on September 11th in Washington and New York. This country pursued the perpetrators of the bombing in Oklahoma City as a criminal act. We pursued the events of September 11th as an act of war.
And here I stand in a suburban Boston, the birthplace of democracy in America. And even here, people have very, very conflicted feelings about what we as a nation ought to be doing. And that's in large measure because the people we send to govern us and to advise us are not doing their jobs. And they don't seem to be accountable, which is really very disturbing to me.
They do not seem to be accountable, and yet we can't give up on the system that we've got. I truly believe that, and that's in fact why I was back in Washington last week testifying to Congress about the research I did regarding soldiers who are coming back from the Iraq war opposed to the war. I think we have to make use of the systems we have in place. There's another caller here who wants to talk with you, Terry. Mike is in fact up in Coos Bay and gave us a call here at 888-573-8372 on the Peter B. Collins Show. Mike, I'm Peter Laufer. You're on with Terry Phillips.
Oh, hi. I've just called in response to your invitation to tell you that all this talk about addressing this as a criminal matter is exactly and precisely right on. I believe our leaders have failed us tremendously by taking this approach of going after the country of Iraq and deposing the government and Afghanistan. It would be much wiser to allow bin Laden to be released to an international court, but much wiser to go after the criminal conspiracy similar to what happened in Chicago in the 1930s than to do what we have done.
Yeah, no question about it in my mind. Terry?
Well, Mike, I'm curious to know whether you think that our government is run by people who are stupid, or if they have an agenda that they're withholding from us. Why would they be pursuing this patently illogical path?
Ben, Terry, I have to ask you to hold those thoughts for a moment because we have to take care of the kind of business the clock dictates here on the radio, and we will be right back to this conversation. And if you wish to join it, the number is 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter Laufer, and you're listening where you are.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. Still working on a crash in Gilroy, southbound 101 at Monterey Street. The reason behind it is vehicles were swerving to avoid a tire in the left lane. Now an accident reported at that same location. Stay to the right to stay out of trouble. Meanwhile, in Hollister, it's off the freeway system, but still a problem. Fairview Road at Fallon Road. Large pieces of wood and debris in all the lanes of traffic. Let's take a look at Carmel. Northbound Highway 1, we're seeing pretty typically slow now in pockets between Carmel and Monterey. Also still working this crash at Highway 1 and Carpenter Street. Two vehicles involved. They are, though, off to the right-hand shoulder. Eastbound Highway 68, you will see it slow in pockets between Monterey and Salinas. This look brought to you by Luxor.com. Your great Las Vegas getaway begins by visiting Luxor.com. Unforgettable days, exciting nights. It all starts by visiting Luxor.com, your website for exclusive offers to the Pyramid. I'm Alex Daly. Traffic on KRXA 5.
This is the Peter B. Collins radio program, coming to you live, and live radio is always fascinating. We started out this hour thinking we were going to have a comfortable travel log to present to you, talk a little bit about Greece, and hear your tales about where you'd rather be. And the conversation turned sharply a little over a half an hour ago when my guest, Terry Phillips, the former CBS News correspondent, started to rail about the response to September 11th and putting it into perspective of how he feels coming back into this country after being away a couple of weeks in Greece. And the response has been fascinating from you out there in the audience. And you are welcome to continue your incoming calls. Please do at 888-573-8372 if you'd like to join us. And Mike in Coos Bay, you were in the middle of saying something, and please continue.
Well, I just want to respond to the wonderful question that was asked before the break. And my answer is that I think this administration has a public face that has an air of stupid about it. But I think behind that public face, I think there's an agenda of power and control. And I think that we have to face that agenda right now, every time we go to the airport and seek to get on the airplane.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, there's this terrible story of the fellow who got on an airplane with a T-shirt, or attempted to, that said in English and in Arabic, we will not be silenced, and he was not allowed to fly until he covered the T-shirt.
On a recent airplane trip, my God, I couldn't even take a tube of toothpaste with me. The amount of fear that the American people have accepted has come to that. And
so the question for you, Mike, and for you, Terry, too, is if it's so obvious to the two of you, why is it that the American public has accepted this fear? We it was drilled into us as school children that one of the most important and inspiring messages we ever received from the White House was we have nothing to fear but fear itself. How has that been successfully turned on its head?
Well, I think that there's two answers to that. One has to do with the biases in the media A lot has to do on the failure of the media to investigate as it did after the matter in the 1970s. I think another part of that is...
What matter in the 1970s?
Watergate, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little nervous here.
No, don't be nervous. It's just us talking.
Yeah. The second factor has to do with the fact that there are many Americans who are militaristic. They do see the glory that is in war, right? And they do have a need and a desire to identify and then fight an enemy. And I think when you bring the two of those together, you run into the sorts of challenges to the country we used to know prior to the year 2000. And we're ending up with a country that's headed for an Orwellian 1984 police state.
Terry, you want to weigh in on this?
Well, I mean, Franklin Roosevelt was right. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself, and that's what we're afraid of. We have been told to be very afraid of imminent attack all the time in every place where we live and every place where we go.
And why do we accept that?
Well, I think most of us have bigger fish to fry than the minutia of politics, even when that minutia really does turn into a dominant force in our lives. And so we're, most of us, worried about feeding our families and taking care of our own personal problems, and don't really have the time or the resources in many cases to verify whether what we're being told is true or not. And despite Watergate, most of us still are inclined to believe those who govern us at all levels. We are somewhat skeptical, but generally speaking, we're still rather trusting, and certainly compared to people elsewhere in the world, which is why, having just returned from elsewhere in the world, I can tell you that we are viewed from abroad as very naive and even gullible people.
And the people that you were interacting with in Greece don't share, and Greece with a history of being on the receiving end of political and criminal activities that use terrorism as a tactic, the people that you interacted with there don't share this kind of fear that we see in this country?
They have a very different way of responding to it. They're still trying the case of their own, you know, homegrown November 17th terrorists. That case is up on appeal right now, and it's a huge trial in Greece, but nobody's getting excited about it. On the other hand, I do want to say that I don't think this is a partisan matter in the United States, as we are often told that it is. I sat on the airplane next to a Greek-American gentleman who began by telling me that he was a conservative Republican. He voted for Bush the first time, and he now thinks the man is an idiot.
And out there in Coos Bay, Mike, in Coos Bay, are you seeing on a daily basis this kind of fear that we're talking about, or is it more abstract than that?
I think it's more abstract. But I think that the first statement that the guest said about Roosevelt is true. After all, it was Rush Limbaugh that said that Roosevelt is dead and we're going after the program and the society that was built upon that foundation.
Going after in terms of trying to take it apart?
Yes, dismantling the welfare state, dismantling the programs which so many of the people here in Coos Bay rely on. Not only for survival, but for that extra little bit that makes life a little bit more worthwhile. So many of the people in Coos Bay will vote in favor of tax cuts, but when a program which personally identifies them, they get furious. They have this tremendous feeling of betrayal, that their expectations of government or society or someone providing for them is being taken away.
Programs such as... excuse me, go ahead, Terry.
Well, I just want to remind Mike that, again, here I am in the cradle of American democracy, and in Boston, where everyone knows very well, our country began with opposition to taxes. This is what we're all about in America. It's our gut, our instinctive reaction to taxes. We're against it.
Right, but
despite
we want
the fact that we're against our own interests.
We want clean water. We want food which is safe. We would like to have some kind of a social net for those that fail in the competition of a capitalist and economic nature. We think that government should provide when the breadwinner is killed and provide for the widows and for the orphans. Those are the kinds of programs which are cut and cut drastically. Those are the kinds of programs that people expect. Those are the kinds of programs that the welfare state, Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson, have provided for us.
Yeah, no question. Well, listen, it's terrific to have you up there listening in Coos Bay, Mike, and your participation in the program has really given a sense of direction to the conversation, and we appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
There goes Mike. And Terry, your Vietnamese food must be getting cold, but we've got a minute or two left here in the hour. Can we bring it back around to some of that paradise that you were describing when we started talking about Greece? It's so important to talk about the realities that you and Mike particularly have been articulating. But I want to leave the hour in a more dreamy fashion.
Well, let me tell you, Peter, from Mike in Coos Bay to me here near Boston Bay to where I was in the Bay of the Aegean Sea near that island, life is a wonderful thing. It's, you know, the variety that we're able to enjoy in spite of all of the nonsense that we're presented with. We still have a pretty darn good life here. And I know a lot of people struggle. I know a great number of people don't get to participate in this great feast of ours. But it is still a spectacular place that people from everywhere on the globe want to come to. 15 years ago when I was in Baghdad during the first Gulf conflict, they loved us. And I'm not sure that's so true today, but this is still a destination for almost everyone in the world. And I'm with you, Peter. I'm glad to be here, and I hope we can make things better, and I'm optimistic that we will.
Oh, it's a great way to end the hour there, Terry. And you're absolutely right. We have an obligation. Mike in Coos Bay, everybody else listening, you and I, we have an obligation to do everything we can to fix this place. Thank you so much, Terry Phillips, for joining us this hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter.
And there he goes back to his cold Vietnamese dinner. I'm Peter Laufer. Always pleased when Peter B. asks me to stick around here with you guys. Stay tuned for his return.
Happy trails.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at More Imported Cars. Located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by More Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 1987 Mercedes-Benz 560 SL Red Coupe Convertible with Palomino Interior. Equipped with all options, this is a low-budget collector car. Specially priced this week, only $14,900.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Resisting calls for his resignation, House Speaker Dennis Hastert today issued an apology for the Foley email scandal.
I'm deeply sorry that this has happened. And the bottom line is that we're taking responsibility.
CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports a formal investigation got underway today.
The Ethics Committee, moving with unusual speed and openness, started a broad investigation into members of Congress and congressional staff to look at who knew about Foley's indiscretions, what was done about it, and whether there was any effort to cover up early signs of trouble. The bipartisan committee, the only one in Congress with equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans, also made clear it would start taking testimony under oath, authorizing almost 50 subpoenas.
After some initial sniping, Republican leaders, including President Bush, rallied around the speaker today.
I'm Mark Mulder at the White House. In his first conversation with Denny Hastert since the Foley scandal surfaced, President Bush expressed his support for the speaker and for his statement saying the buck stops with him in responding to the matter. A spokeswoman says Mr. Bush told Hastert he appreciated the swift call for a Justice Department investigation and in making clear that Foley had to leave Congress.
Senator John Warner, the Republican chairman of the Armed Services Committee, says he saw progress being made in certain areas on a recent visit to Iraq, but overall he thinks the situation is drifting sideways. Unless the Iraqi government can stop sectarian violence and speed up reconstruction within 3 months, Warner said Congress might have to make some bold decisions. Pennsylvania's Amish in their traditional horse-drawn buggies attended funerals today for four of the girls killed in Monday's attack on a one-room schoolhouse. One of the processions passed right by the home of the gunman, Charles Roberts. Fifth child will be buried tomorrow, and there was word today that a sixth girl, severely wounded, was being removed from life support. In a spirit of forgiveness, Amish leaders have established a fund for Roberts' widow and three children. In Bailey, Colorado this morning, students gathered around a flagpole to pray, then resumed classes at Platte Canyon High School, the scene of an attack last week. 53-year-old Dwayne Morrison barricaded himself and six girls in a classroom, molested the girls, and killed one before taking his own life. That room will be closed for the rest of the year. Now there's confirmation of a second death from tainted